What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Game Junction Podcast. Fortunately, we had some people out today feeling under the weather. That weather change got some folks sick. Our special guest, Jay Malone's out. We got a nice little fill-in with old Mr. Hulk Hogan over here, though. Mr. Hulk, how you doing today?
What's happening, brother? I'm so glad to be here with you guys. This is wonderful. Can't wait to be on this Game Junction Podcast. So, do I have to have an iPod? You know, I'm an older guy, so I don't know. Do I have to have an iPod to be on a podcast? I just don't know.
No iPod. No iPod necessary.
Fantastic, fantastic. Let's do this.
You're looking a little baby face there, brother.
Yeah, well, you know, me and my girlfriend, we went over to Texas here a few weeks ago, and, you know, they got some good barbecue over there, and that stuff just stuck to my goatee, so I had to shave it all off. We're going to grow it all back in. Man, I tell you what, there ain't nothing like driving down the highway. You just, you know, all of a sudden you just kind of go, there's still barbecue in my beard.
Tasting the barbecue.
So I had to shave it off. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking a little baby face, not looking at my almost 70-year-old self tonight, but hey, we do what you got to do. Let's just do this. That's right.
Nice. Welcome in, brother. Welcome in. Well,
Thanks, brother. Good to be here.
Anybody watching at this moment, please give us a like, follow, share, subscribe, comment, whichever one you're watching on. Drop it. Just drop it for us. Drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like a hot potato, brother. I'm telling you, if you don't comment on this, I might have to come over there and my 4-inch pythons will have to come over there and kick you in the... I'll just shut up now.
All the 4 inches. All
well, you know, you do with what you got. You do with what you got. So, yeah. Where's your other cohort? Where's Brandon? Where's Mark? Where's that little teeny guy with all the Nintendo games?
See, the weather got him. The weather got Brandon. He's feeling under it as well, just like Jay. I think him and Jay might have been doing little smoochies in the background over there at Torg and got each other sick.
Well, you know, I saw some videos over there. They were acting, you know, a little kind of funny there. But, you know, they're both, you know, hell of nice guys, both of them. And maybe one of these days I'll get to actually meet them in person. But, you know, it is what it is, right, brother? It is what it is.
You know he's going to have a game to sign if you meet him in person.
Absolutely. You know, and if he has one of the WWE games there, I'll sign that for him, too. Be like, fake Hulk Hogan. There you go, brother.
Fake Hulk. Nice. What's going on, Tim? We got a couple folks in the chat already. Tim says, hey there, muscles. And he did share it on Facebook. Thanks, Tim. We appreciate that.
We appreciate you, brother. Appreciate you all the way back to Florida and back. That's right, baby.
Yes, sir. So we got a little bit in the news today. I'm going to start off with a little Sonic Frontiers news. So apparently the hype has been real for it, and it is breaking all kind of records on Steam. It's had the most fan base playing the game since any Sonic game, apparently.
Yeah, I was actually checking that out. RGT85, he was actually showing that one night. And, you know, I love that guy. I love watching him. I love his channel. And he was playing that, and I was also watching Matt Little Pixel have it on one night, and I was like, wow, this is actually a really good-looking game. And I was a little confused because it was so open world. And then,
Not so linear.
Compartmentalized. No, and then you get to some of the parts where it is linear. It is that, you know, that kind of 2D experience and also that 3D experience as well. They got a lot going on in one game. And it's good to see Sonic come back with an actual solid game as opposed to the stuff they've been putting out the last couple years. They've been trying. But, you know, Sonic ain't like Mario. You know, Sonic always has to try a lot harder. Mario can just come around, crap out a game, and it's great. Because, you know, that's how Nintendo is. But, you know, I know Team Sonic, they try their ass off. Sometimes they don't hit it. Sometimes they hit it big. And I think
it seems like a lot of stuff they did with Sonic here in the past, or in the recent past anyway, has just really been trying to rehash the old Sonic. With the Sonic Mania, they really just gave you a new age version of the old Sonic. Like, they didn't really try to do anything else with it.
Yeah, it looked the same. I actually got, you know, my daughter, she got me that for my birthday one year. Got that cheap statue and, the download code. I'm sitting there messing around. I'm like, this reminds me of the day when Randy Macho Man Savage and I used to play this, you know, on the old Genesis when we would be going around the country and touring and stuff. And I'll tell you what, it kind of reminded me of that. It looked like it. It felt like it. Mm-hmm. And it was nice to go old school, but at the same time, it was just old school.
Right.
So this time I think that they're stepping it up. They're doing something a little different.
Genesis.
Oh yeah, baby. I love that shirt. That's right up my alley. That's right up my, you know, I got the old Hulk. I mean, I'm not going to rip it tonight.
Nah, come on. You got to rip it off by the end of the show.
Maybe by the end of the show. Maybe by the end of the show. show you the hair on my chest.
And apparently there has been a rumor leaked that there is going to be a Transformers MMO game coming out. It hasn't really had a lot of talk about it other than the name Transformers Rise and the developer. A certain Affinity apparently is the developer on that one. So I'm interested in that.
Some of the Transformers games were pretty cool, and some of them were not so good.
A lot of them weren't so good.
I remember that Transformers Devastation. That was a pretty damn good game, especially since they had a lot of the old school characters in there and a lot of the old school actors playing those characters.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was pretty darn good. But yeah, some of them were kind of clunky, I thought. But so as long as it's not going to be the Battlegrounds game, that's pretty much... You know, the same, like that WWE Battlegrounds. Who plays that, right? I mean, yeah, I'm in the game, but I don't play it. So nobody plays that stuff.
They got
but,
fake Hulk in that game?
They do have fake Hulk in that game, yeah, and, you know, no mustache either, so it's not too bad.
Babyface Hulk. That's the babyface.
Now, did they say whether or not, because I did not see this story, did they say whether or not they were going to be using new characters, new voices, or are they going to be using classic voices, classic mm-hmm. characters?
Just a rumored leak that it is coming.
Oh, I'll be looking forward to having a look at that.
Rumored
then,
leak.
Leak. Kind of like plandemic.
Exactly. You know? Oh, hey, by the way, guys, tell some people this is coming out soon.
Yeah, hey, leave this in a bar someplace like the iPhone 4.
Hey, speaking of iPhone 4, I got one of those still.
Does it work?
It does. I don't use it, but it works.
I actually have an iPhone 2 and I have an iPhone 3GS here, and believe it or not, they actually still turn on and work. They're slow as hell.
Oh, of course.
But they work.
I mean, you can still get the PS Vita that's got the 3G service and get service and add your cell phone service to that.
You know, I don't even know if mine is a 3G or not. I'll have to have a look.
Mm-hmm. Gotta love those Vitas,
man. I bought my used a couple years ago. Yeah, I love my Vita. And speaking of Vita, still bringing out stuff for the Vita.
Unintentional segue here, but I did read a headline the other day about somebody recorded a concert with a Vita. So they actually took their Vita to a concert in London and recorded this rapper on stage with their Vita. I'm like, hey. Do what you got to do.
That's all they had?
I guess. I mean, it is London, so you never know. I mean, I would imagine they had decent phones, but maybe you just wanted that Vita picture. I mean, you've seen like YouTube videos where they take the Game Boy camera and they stick this huge-ass lens on it. They do like shots of the cityscapes on their Game Boy camera, and then they'll print it off on the Game Boy printer. Those things are cool as shit.
Yeah, those printers are pretty cool, but... don't you have to use the actual paper that the Nintendo made at that time for those?
So it's actually just a thermal paper.
No,
it's a thermal paper. It's just like kind of a receipt paper. Yeah, I've got some up here. You can buy like the little rolls on Amazon that actually fit it, and they just pop in there and it'll print out with it.
Well, that'd be better than having a Polaroid, I think. Yeah. You know, get some nude pictures of some good, you know.
Well, that's why I always love finding the Game Boy cameras in the wild, because, you know, it saves all the pictures that people take on them, and nobody ever goes and erases that shit. So if you find one of those Game Boy cameras, you pop that thing in your Game Boy, you can actually look through whatever pictures they took.
That could be kinky. You never know.
You could run across some shit you might not want to see. I know pictures that I would have took of that as a child if I had it, and I don't think people need to see some shit.
Yeah, I would have taken some pictures of my dog's behind. And
I was about to say, I wonder what my butthole looks like. Click. Oh, there it is.
Well, you know, you've been in the business long enough, you know, eventually somebody's going to take pictures of your butthole anyway. So anyway, I know I've been there.
So apparently Razer has released a version of the PS5 controller that has offset sticks like an Xbox controller, but it is actually specifically for the PS5, and they're calling it the Wolverine controller, and it's $250 fucking dollars.
Well, I may be a millionaire, but damn, that's a lot of money to pay for a controller, don't you think? Unless you're a real, real big enthusiast. Yeah, pro controller. You know, most pros are going to use a corded controller anyway. They're not going to use a wireless controller.
No latency.
Unless you're able to plug that cable in and it turns it into a corded controller. Because, you know, I got some of those out there because, you know, I'm a pro gamer.
So to have have an actual PlayStation controller with the sticks offset to me is strange.
Well, I'll tell you what, brother. Whenever I'm playing PlayStation, I got those two sticks right there, you know, kind of like I'm thumb wrestling with myself. You know what I'm saying? You know, my hands are big anyway. But then when I get my hands on that Xbox controller, I know that I'm playing with something completely different. And I like the differentiation, so I don't think I would want to have my PS5 controller with that Xbox thing going on because you'd be like, what the hell am I doing? What the hell am I playing?
Right, exactly. It's just like switching, like going and playing Nintendo where the select button is A instead of, you know, what would typically be X on PlayStation, or I guess it is A on Xbox, but the lower button. Like, when you play on Nintendo, it's the side button to select and the lower button deselect. So I always have, anytime I switch between consoles like that, I always have to get used to that. I couldn't imagine having a PlayStation 5 controller that's set up like an Xbox controller.
And back in the 90s, I didn't have a problem picking up an SNES controller and going, okay, B, A, this is backwards, X, Y, that's backwards. But now, you know, I'm playing my Xbox and my PS4. I don't have a PS5 yet. And then I'm sitting here playing these all the time, and then whenever I go to, you know, pick up a Switch controller or something like that, I'm like, what the hell am I doing?
Yep. They changed it. They changed it on me. I don't know. It's weird. So weird.
And what else is going on?
Oh, so Hogwarts Legacy. Apparently there's been a 20-minute trailer drop on that. We'll have a link in the comments. Link in the comments on the YouTube video on this one. 20-minute video of actual gameplay and them talking about it and walking through different areas of the game, talking about combat. It looks freaking amazing. Like, I'm pretty stoked for it, actually, even though it's way too late.
Yeah, and considering they've been having all this political stuff going on with, you know, J.K. Rowling and everything like that, I mean, I support the lady. You know, her opinion's her opinion, and that's okay, because just like when we were talking about buttholes earlier, everybody's got a butthole, everybody's got an opinion, and an opinion is just a damn opinion.
Exactly.
And you can say what you want as long as you're not harming anybody else. And she didn't harm a damn person. She was just talking about stuff. And I'll tell you what, brother, I'll tell you what, I love me some Harry Potter, and I will actually check this video out, and then if this game comes out, and if it's actually pretty damn good, I might have to check it out, because I love me some Harry Potter.
Mm-hmm. It looks good. It looks good. I don't know. I'm definitely not going to buy it day one because, you know, why do that shit these days?
No.
Just wait a couple weeks and it'll be $10, $15 cheaper and more worth it, in my opinion. Work the bugs out of it. But it looks like it's going to be really good. Like, the graphics on it look really awesome. Maybe
knows, it might come out on Game Pass.
Exactly. Shit. I mean, they do have a lot of great day one drops here lately. That's one good thing about Xbox over PlayStation. Like, PlayStation tried to switch to that model where they're doing that different levels of the Game Pass or, you know, whatever they call it, PlayStation Plus, but it's not working. Apparently, they've been losing subscribers left and right here lately, so they're trying to rework again.
I think sometimes when you try to copy somebody that's got something that's going on really, really awesome, and then you're like, well, let's change it up a little bit. Well, you know, Sony hasn't exactly been the most consumer-friendly in the last year or two, you know, when they used to be the most consumer-friendly.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, brother, if I could get my 24-inch pythons around those guys, I would show them a thing or two, because I'll tell you what, you've got to be consumer-friendly.
That's right.
And Microsoft, you know, they've come a little bit, you know, from being, like, you know, really consumer-hostile, but I'll tell you what, you know, that Game Pass is something that, you know, Nintendo's trying to push something on you, and Sony, they're trying to push something on you, and it ain't no Game Pass. Now, is the Hulkster an Xbox fan, per se? And, you know, am I a fanboy? Hell no, I like them all, but I'll tell you what, Xbox knows what's best for them, and they
That's
know
true.
What's going on, but I'll tell you, they better not raise that damn price, because if they do, you're going to have people dropping off like flies.
And that's, I give Nintendo credit. That is where they do kind of shine on the price wise, because their shit is like, what, $20 a year versus it, PlayStation $60 a year for their base package now. And I believe it's up to like $130 or $140 for their like platinum package. What's the Xbox? Is it still just, I don't know what their pricing is on Xbox. I don't Xbox at all.
Well, I've been trying to find that out here recently because mine's expiring out in, I think, March or April, mm-hmm. and I can't get a definitive price on it either. I can't tell, is it $60 for the year? Or, you know, they keep showing me just the monthly pricing, and I'm getting kind of tired of not being able to find out what the hell is going on. And I went directly to their website, too. Can't figure it out. Anybody in the chat know what?
Yeah, somebody in the chat, drop it in the chat. Let us know how much the Game Pass is, if they're doing just the only monthly pricing or if they're doing it like a yearly discount rate also, because that would be nice if they did, you know? Shit. Yeah, they definitely should.
Cool. Well, hey, this week, guess what? Guess what? I picked this up.
Oh, the Atari 50th.
Yeah, now you know me. The Hulkster's old school anyway. I don't do any wrestling anymore. I'm not old school. And I'll tell you what, I am a retro wrestler, and this is definitely a retro game. And, you know, I'll tell you what, they did it up right on this. And there's some videos out there already and some more coming. I know that other people are making their videos. And this is more than just playing a game or like that cruddy flashback thing. You know, they have those flashback video game packages and stuff with just regular Atari 2600 games. I'll tell you what, they did this up right, brother. You know, they got interviews in here. They got museum stuff. They got all kinds of crazy things going on in here. And, you know, save states and everything. And it is done really well. They got some good music going on in there on top of that. It's like you're actually in a damn museum. It is beautiful. So if you got yourself $40, I suggest for the Switch or the PS4 or PS5, go out there and get yourself one. Because I'll tell you what, if you love some Atari, you're going to love this.
It is on Steam also. I seen that earlier today. I noticed it. I was like, what is that? Oh, okay. I didn't know they were coming out with another one.
It is beautiful. They had, you know, you can actually watch through and check out all the interviews. They got David Crane and they got Larry Kitchen on there, who used to be with Activision and formed Activision. And they got all kinds of interviews with different people. They even had one said, "Hey, you guys doing drugs around the office?" "No, no, we never did any drugs here at Atari." And you got other guys going,
"Yeah, right.
Oh, hell yeah, we were toking it up while we were doing this stuff."
Of course they were.
Yeah, we were. But they were also talking about the Atari was not the easiest thing in the world to program for. And that is something that I, the Hulkster, did not know, that it was very difficult to program. And I can't explain it because I'm not a techie, but if you watch this thing, you watch this, you watch all these interviews and things, you know, it's very interesting and it's done really well and you're going to learn a lot. It's educational and hell, it's just fun to watch it.
Nice.
Yeah, good stuff.
I love all those old, the old documentaries and stuff on the old Atari guys. And, you know, I went through YouTube. There was shit probably about 2 months there. I went through and watched like a bunch of documentaries about the arcades, about Atari. They had some really, really good ones on Atari. And then like on world record holders and stuff for arcade games and stuff back then. Really, really awesome, like in-depth documentaries on folks.
Well, it was funny. Larry Kitchen was talking about like programming that, and he was talking about programming Donkey Kong, of course, which came out for the ColecoVision originally, and had a Coleco title for the Atari 2600. He said, "Now you get something like that back in the day. It was a miracle that it actually made itself onto TV screens and into consumers' homes.
No doubt.
Yeah, and they really did come up with a really good point. You have an arcade game." And then it's kind of like if for some of these games, they actually ended up with, you know, home versions for like, say, Atari 2600. And it's almost like you have the abridged version of something. So instead of reading the entire book of Moby Dick, you have, you know, the cliff notes. You know, hey, you know, guy's pissed off, wants to kill a fish, goes after the fish that bit him. Okay? Well, with Donkey Kong, that's what you got. You got the abridged version. And that abridged version of Donkey Kong was a damn miracle on the Atari 2600. But you'll have people nowadays looking at that going, "Damn, that sucks. Look at that." It's like,
you don't understand
it does
how
suck.
Much it took to get that there.
Exactly. Now the original Pac-Man, I'm sorry. That just sucks. That Pac-Man on the 2600, that just sucks.
It's bad.
I don't care how I mean, they could have put a little bit more into that, but I'll tell you what, brother, they did a really good job putting this 50th anniversary. Now, could they put more stuff in here? Oh, heck yeah, because I was really happy to see Atari Lynx on here. They got Atari Jaguar. They got Atari computers on here. 5200, 7800, arcade, 2600, just so. And then they have some really, really cool reimagining of things, which you can actually check on the fly. Like they have Yar's Revenge Reimagined. So you can actually play the old version, and if you push a button on the controller, it'll actually go from left to right, and it'll uncover the new version back and forth. It's really cool. Also, back in the day, they never did make Sword Quest Air World. Now, I'm not the biggest Sword Quest fan in the world, I'll tell you that right now.
No, I know Sword Quest.
But Sword Quest Air World is now on this. They actually fleshed the game out. Plus, there was I forget the name of it right now, but there was an arcade game that got scrapped back in the day, and it was just about to come out, and Atari wasn't doing too well, and that's when Atari croaked. Well, I'll tell you what, that
save
arcade
that money.
Game that never made it is on here. You can play that arcade game, but I can't remember it. It's got some good stuff. So $40.
What was the one Sword World that was expensive as shit? It's so expensive on Atari, like
Waterworld.
Is it Waterworld? Okay.
Yeah, that was the third one. And you can pay upwards of $75 to $125 for that.
Just
right
for
now.
Like a loose just card loose. Of that one. Yeah, exactly.
Just loose. Yeah. So
yeah, that shit's nuts.
Yeah, pretty cool. Hey, I'm gonna take off here, and I'm gonna see if your other guys coming here in a little bit. And so it was good talking to you guys. And
Thank you, Hulk.
I'll come out another time.
Always a pleasure to have Fake Hulk in.
Oh, hey, anytime, brother. Anytime. We'll catch you all later, and hopefully your other host will be here in just a second.
Nice. All right, guys. We got Mystical in the chat. What's up, Mysticals? How's it going, bro? Hope everybody's doing all right. We can kind of see some of the chat. I don't know if it's all coming through. I know we're on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. Pretty much everywhere else, I guess, as well. Oh, we got Will in the chat. What's going on, Will? Yeah, you coming in late, bro. Don't worry about it. We got a couple more news topics here we'll talk about if we get our old other host in here. Hope everybody's having a good night tonight.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
There's Dr. Scott. What's up, Dr. Scott?
Sorry, I was held up in traffic there. Yeah, I had to have that hernia taken care of, and then on the way back from the hospital, I was stuck in traffic. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than being in traffic and you have a big, bloody mass of gauze where your hernia was.
Yeah,
so,
I can tell. It's still, bloody, still bloody around your wrist there on that.
Oh, yeah, you know, I... You know, sometimes with costume changes, you forget to do shit. So.
Oh shit! Good times, man.
I'll tell you what. I'll be honest with you. There were times where in college or even high school, you have to do a quick costume change, and there you are, all the way down to your drawers in front of other people. Mm-hmm. And even in high school, there was this one girl that I knew. She actually was coming in to help people with their makeup, and she came in, and I'm standing there in my drawers, and I'm like, I don't care. It is what it is. She's like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, yeah. At least I wasn't standing there stark naked, right? So what other news do we have?
Well, a hot topic these days, apparently Halo is, stealing people's money and promising you shit that they're falling out on. They're like, you know what? We're going to give you multiplayer, guys. We're going to give you that couch co-op multiplayer. Pay us your money. And then, okay, we take your money. Here's your game. We're going to release that later. And then, well, we're not really going to do that anymore.
Well, what I know this is an old topic, kind of, but I actually stumbled onto it this week, and it really disappointed me and kind of angered me. And yes, I am going to be doing a video on it, so keep an eye out for that. But
check that out.
What I found out was
retro on YouTube.
Yeah, they apparently promised couch co-op. There was a video of former 343 head Bonnie Ross out there going, you know, we're going to give you co-op back because we know that that's something that Halo is based on and what people really like doing. And my wife and I, we love playing Halo co-op. And we didn't even get to play Halo 5 co-op because of this. Mm-hmm. So here it is. They say, we're going to do co-op again. And people are throwing down their money. Here's my $60.
Yep. quickly.
As soon as they heard that, I mean, that was like a money grab right there all day long.
Yep. And then like Game Pass too. It's like, okay, I'm gonna get the game free if I have Game Pass free. I mean, it's not free. You paid for it.
Right.
You paid for a service. Therefore, the thing that you were promised is not coming to your TV now. Now, I know there's a lot of people out there going, oh, well, you know, I play multiplayer. I really don't play the campaign.
Right.
Good for you. But there are people like me who don't give a damn about the multiplayer, and we want the campaign.
Right.
So when I found this out, I was very, very upset. And I found out what they're going to push off on you now is they're going to say, oh, yeah, you ready for this?
Let's hear this one.
In the United States, it is illegal to do a bait and switch.
Right.
This is a bait and switch.
Uh-huh.
So they're going to give you co-op, but it's going to be four-player network co-op. So that would
mean... That is not a couch co-op at all.
No.
That means I have to have my console, my buddy has to have his console, and we have to have two TVs in the same house.
And another copy of the game,
right.
unless you have Game Pass. That's and so I actually did... I did the math, Tony. I did the math. In order for you to do that in the same room with your friend, your wife, your girlfriend, mm-hmm. your best friend, whatever, it will cost you at least $700 to $850.
Your setup and that setup.
Yeah, because you have to have your setup and that setup.
So stupid. Yeah.
So bait and switch, anybody. Does anybody want to join me on the class action lawsuit?
Oh, there's going to be one for sure.
Well, I don't know who's going to start off with it, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to see if I can find me an attorney who's willing to go, oh, hell yeah, I'll do that. Microsoft 343, get ready, because there's, you know, you may have bloodthirsty lawyers out there. You may have lawyers that have shark fins on their back, but there's no way you can win this.
No.
You failed. And here's the thing. You spent $69 billion to try to buy Activision. That's not counting the cost, what it's costing for you to attempt to do it. So add that in on top of it. But you're not going to add in the extra $14.50 to fix Halo?
Right, no.
Now, guess what? There is an exploit, and I'm not going to explain it, but there is an exploit where you can actually play split-screen co-op. And look it up on YouTube. There's an exploit where you can actually do it. It's already built into the game. They're just not going to finish it.
That's fucked
up. Yeah. So you're telling me that you're more concerned about buying Activision Blizzard so you can get their IPs rather than fixing the IP that you built your damn company on?
Wrong.
Talk about piss-poor stewards. If it would have been Bungie, the head of Bungie would have killed themselves. Bonnie Ross, I know you're probably not listening to this, but if anybody out there knows Bonnie Ross, or if this is the six stages of Kevin Bacon, and you know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody that knows Bonnie Ross, guess what? Screw you, lady. I'm glad you're not at the company anymore. Screw you.
Hell yeah. Got it.
There. Yeah. Getting that off my soapbox now. Halo is something... No, but I'm passionate about Halo.
I mean,
Halo, okay?
Halo runs deep with people, man. It really does. Like, it's one of those games that really brought a lot of people together that would have never been together. I mean, it's just one of those root core games, really.
Well, you know, it is entirely possible. It is possible. Now, I'm not saying probable, but it is possible that if it wasn't for Halo and me playing couch co-op, or even multiplayer with, you know, up to four people on, you know, split screen on my TV. It is even possible that my wife and I may not be married right now. Because I was like, hey, you know, I had a couple of buddies over, and she's like, oh, what are you guys playing? Well, you know, like, you want to play? I'm like, yeah, sure. And then there she is trying to figure out the controls and stuff like any noob does. And we're going up just hitting her in the back of the head and running around cackling. You know, gotcha. And then one of my kids... Both of my boys, when they started learning Halo, doing the same thing. Oh, hell, my son, Warren, he was just like, you're not giving me a chance to win. I'm like, get better, son.
No chances.
That's all it is.
No chances.
Get better, son. But that's the thing. you know, there are friendships that, you know, there are friendships, marriages, families. There are people out there who love their couch co-op, and they're not getting it when they paid for it. And I just think that's
when it was promised. Like, it'd be one thing if they didn't even mention it. You know, if they didn't even mention it, and then maybe they're like, okay, we're thinking about doing it, and then just didn't do it. But they, like, flat out fucking promised you you're going to get couch co-op with this shit. Like, you will get it. Take, like, give us your money. And then now you're not going to get it. So, go freaking figure with that. Something else you might not get. Anything, or you might not get the download code in your fucking God of War pre-order. Your big collector's edition $375 pre-order opened up and no download code.
Yeah, I saw some videos on that just today. That's crazy. So apparently,
I wonder if they're going to do anything, like if you call it in and bitch about it, if they're going to do anything better for you, if they're just going to send you like, oh, here you go, here's your code.
Well, according to what I heard from one channel that I watch, they said that it's going to take 5 to 7 business days to get this sorted out and get it to you. And I'm like, now let me get this straight. These people paid upwards of $400 for something. And first, okay, forgive me if you're one of the people who bought this, but you are stupid. And here's why.
Here's why you're stupid.
You know, here's why you're stupid. I love you. But here's why you're stupid. You knew that it wasn't going to come with a physical disc. It was just going to come with a download code. You're going to pay $400
for a hammer and some statues and a dice and a steelbook. Now it did. It had a little 7-inch vinyl record in it too, which was pretty neat. But I just don't see $400 worth of shit in there.
But Tony, it comes with a steelbook case for it.
Oh, I know.
A steelbook case.
Did you see it? Did you see the steelbook case open? It's actually a dual disc steelbook case, right? So it's got two places for the disc. You literally have to go buy the fucking game. You have to go buy another $70 edition of the game or $70 version of the game and to put it in there. Just to put it in there.
I mean, yeah. That's why they did it. That's why they did it, because they want you, the stupid person, to go out there and buy the game twice.
Yep.
Twice. Why?
I mean, I remember what was it? Just a couple years ago, you would buy the high dollar edition of the game. You would get the steel book. You would get the physical edition of the game. You would get all the extra bullshit, maybe an art book, a soundtrack, some other stuff, download codes to get extra shit in the game. And they would give you like a download code for the digital version of the game. You would get all that for that price.
You make a good point, and I'll tell you what. Let me turn the camera off for one second. I'm going to show you something. Hold on.
All right. This is going to be interesting. He's still got his fake Hulk logo up. What you talking about over there in the chat, Will? Tony up late as always. It's like, it's only 8:30, bro.
As I drop it on the floor.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, I've had this thing for years, and I'm dropping it on the floor. So, anyway. Okay, so now is this like the most special, awesome edition of something that they could have made? No, but this was the top tier of this particular game that you could get at the time.
Right.
And this is my Metal Gear Solid 4 limited edition, and you'll notice it still has the plastic on the. This is metal.
Right.
This front is metal. Okay. So and inside, you know, you open the bad boy up. Inside, it comes with. Case. Oh yeah, and it's like slanted too. It's like really cool. It's very, very cool. And then so you know, inside it's got, you know, of course the game. You know, here's the game. Open it up. It's got this a manual. It actually has the manual. I got the receipt in here still. It's got the manual, it's got like this comic thing in the manual and everything. It's really, really, really cool.
Right. But nicely done.
That's not everything. It also came with this. So this says nice. It is a tactical, it is a Blu-ray. I'm trying to remember exactly what it is. It has the original soundtrack, and it has this Blu-ray, and if I'm not mistaken, it's the, it says the, limited edition bonus disc.
Right.
I think it has a lot of making of, behind the scenes, stuff like that. With a
couple documentary thing, probably.
And then here's the other thing. Now, when I ordered it, I got this in addition to that, and I'll be honest, it's been a long time. I don't remember what the difference between this is, and this DVD is. So I got this in addition to that stuff. Now, this might just be...
like a DVD versus the Blu-ray.
It might be. Yeah. So if anybody remembers, let me know.
That's pretty cool, though. It was like a pre-order kind of gift for it.
I believe it was. So, but that's how you do it. Now, did it come with... I mean, is it as cool as like ordering, say, the Halo Reach Legendary Edition? You got the cool statue.
Oh right.
No, is it as cool as getting Halo 3 and you get the... now people are going, well, I got the helmet that it doesn't fit on my head. Well,
it's because it's a fucking statue. It's a fucking statue.
It's just a statue.
Right. It's a you dust know, collector. It's not a fucking costume piece.
Thank you. Exactly.
Or what was the, you know, didn't Fallout sell you like a nuke one time? They had like a whole big ass nuke you could get?
Yes. It was the PC version
that had the game in it, right? You're like flipping it over. Game,
I believe it was for Fallout 3, and I think it had three, if I'm not mistaken, it also had 1 and 2 in there as well. Oh, okay. I think.
Nice.
Well, I don't remember. But yeah, it was a big ass bomb like this.
Yeah, that thing was cool as shit.
Cool.
I seen one for sale it's been like probably 4 years ago now. I had a chance to get it, but I didn't.
The coolest special edition I ever saw. And to me, this was worth it, and it was expensive. It was, even though the game itself, I wasn't a big fan of the first one, but I am of the second one, was Titanfall. It came with that giant statue of the Titan, and that thing must have stood 3 feet tall. And then of course, your character is like real small along the side. That thing's beautiful. If any of you don't know what I'm talking about,
I need to look
just
it up.
Look it up. It is a gorgeous resin statue. Very detailed, beautiful. The thing was in a box. The box was huge. And I remember eventually some of those were on clearance at GameStop, and I wish I could have grabbed it at the time. I think the cheapest I saw it was like, I want to say $75. Mm. And yeah, but that's how you do it. But guess what it came with?
Everything else.
The game.
Right.
It came with a physical copy of the game. I could see if they weren't making physical copies of the game at all.
Right.
I could see that. And then you open up your God of War, and guess what? There's nothing in there.
Oh my God.
You know, just a download missing. Code.
Or the download code's missing. Like, we're going to sell you just a download code. By the way, it doesn't even come with a download code in your box. And we fucking missed it. So now you got to wait 5 to 7 more days to even play the game.
I would take it back.
Oh.
And I would...
I don't know that I'd take it back. I would get my money back and keep that shit. I'd be like, nah, fuck y'all. Give me my money back, because that's bullshit. Like, you need to give me my money back. Actually, I'm keeping all this shit, and you need to give me that download code.
You are dead on. If Sony wanted to do the honorable thing... Yep. Sony, you're a Japanese company. Do the honorable thing. Either one, pony up the money and give people their money back and give them a physical copy plus...
Yep.
The digital code, or Harry Caray. I'm not kidding. Get your sword out and do it. Because if you don't know how to treat people right, you don't deserve to be here.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, like, at least give them a fucking physical copy of the game if they didn't have their download code in it, just to put in their steelbook. Like, I don't understand that. How are you going to sell the fucking steelbook without the game?
Now, I, you know, is it possible this was a mistake in the manufacturing process?
I mean, I'm sure it was. They completely forgot just to put it in the box, you know. It's not like they did with the Red Dead. What was it, Red Dead Redemption 2? You're supposed to get, like, a canvas carry bag with the special edition, and it turned out to be, like, some kind of, like, plastic piece of shit, like, bag. And they even mentioned that it was, like, a canvas bag. And then people got it, and it was, like, a plastic, like, what's like the little, I don't even know how to describe it, but just like a thin little piece of plastic, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Those real thin, almost like real cottony feeling bags that are, they're like, you know, practically see through.
Exactly.
just a step below burlap.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, another reason I hate going after those collector's edition things, man. It's just like, you never know that bait and switch shit can happen at any time. I mean, or even like this one, you know, they told you that you wasn't going to get the physical copy of the game. You're going to get a download code with all this extra shit. And I mean, it's a huge box, man. If you've seen that God of War collector's box, it is big.
Well, that's what kind of pissed me off about. Now, mind you, when I bought Sonic Mania, I knew coming in there was no physical copy coming out.
Right.
It was going to be a download code, and that was it. Exactly. And then when I opened up the box and I saw that the statue of Sonic on top of the Sega Genesis, it was very chintzy feeling. I mean, it for what I paid, I was like, and my wife said, this is crap. And I said, yeah. And I used the download code, and the thing sat there for like a day, and I put it back in the box, and it sat there for another week, and then I eventually put it on, I think, Marketplace or eBay. I said, listen. Yeah, I just flipped it. I said, hey, you know, you're not going to get the game, but you're going to get the, and somebody said, yeah, I just bought the download code. I'd be happy. I'm like, take it. Nice. I don't want it. And I'm pretty sure that Brandon actually has the, I'm pretty sure he has the statue and all. Mm. And then after that, it wasn't even 6 months later, they're going, oh, guess what? We're going to come out with the physical game. I was like, you sons of bitches.
Right. Of course they do.
Now, if I ever see it.
It did so well. We're actually going to do it and make more money now.
Right. And that's how come sometimes when that happens, I just wait now. Just wait. And
the it's nice so hard to jump on the new train. It's so hard to jump on the new train.
It is. And here's the thing, you know, right now, I mean, it's no secret. Everybody out there, I'm not embarrassed by it. I am technically right now, I am unemployed. I am a graphic designer. I'm a video editor, and I am unemployed. My company let me and a bunch of other people go just because, and this was not six months ago. It was back in July. So almost, it'll be six months ago. In January. But they got bought out by another company, and then as soon as they started hiring a bunch of vice presidents and stuff like that, paying them six figures each.
Cut out the highest paid employees.
Yep, so they cut like half my department out. Okay, fine. You know, that's fine. I'm still looking for work. But the point behind all that is, why did I even start saying that shit? What are we talking about?
Games.
I don't even know why I was even talking about that.
Just went off on the rant. Nice. Wow. When you talk about Sonic Mania and then the physical copy of the game.
Yeah, I may not even have the money, you know, for some games and things like that right now, just because I am unemployed. But I'll tell you what, if you can get something for free, if you can get something on a great deal, if you can get something like, for example, Frontiers just came out, Sonic Frontiers, it's on sale already at GameStop for $40 this week. And I don't, you know, get it on sale because things fall fast unless it says Nintendo on it and it's a Nintendo property, then it'll never fall. But when I can, I try to get things as cheap as possible. Even when I'm unemployed, if I, you know, right now, am I buying a ton of stuff? No. But,
well, especially now being unemployed, you got to get that deal, you know, like,
right.
Like, why the hell pay full price when you know you can literally just wait a week and get it $10, $15 cheaper?
And that's the thing, is there's a lot of people out there right now losing their jobs, and they're wondering about Christmas and stuff like that. Look for the deal. Look for the deal. Look to trade stuff. I have plenty of stuff that's in my collection that I just don't care about anymore.
Same shit.
And it's just, it's got to go. And it was been on the chopping block before I was on the chopping block. Sell the stuff that you don't want and get the stuff you do want. Yep. Because...
Put it up for trade. Offer it up for trade. See what people have for trade, man. People literally trade you stuff that they don't want that you may want, you know?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I know that we've all done this. We've all sold something, traded something, and then years later or months later, I wish I would have done that. And then you can always go get another one, you know, and maybe not be in this, you know, like my Vita that I have. I got rid of my original Vita, and I was lucky to get hold of another one here about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I got one in exquisite condition.
Nice.
Just as good as the one that I bought brand new. But if you happen to have something like, for example, I have Godzilla for the PS4. I'm getting rid of that game.
Yeah. It's a good money game anyway. There,
yes. And there is somebody out there who is really wanting that. I would rather see it be on your shelf. You're getting enjoyment out of it. And I'm not going to be sitting here going, yeah, I got the money. Yeah, I'm going to say that.
Right.
But from my perspective, I would rather see it. Right, and I want you to enjoy it rather than sit here collect dust.
See, and that's where I'm, you know, I really, I really stand for the middleman when it comes for that kind of shit. Like, a lot of people say resellers are trash and all this and that, and I'm like, some, you know, yeah, some resellers do get a bad, they'd have just have a bad vibe in general. But you've got a lot of guys like myself and a lot of local people that I know and who are in a lot of my local circle, my local gaming circles, you know, we go to the flea markets, we go to the yard sales.
Yep.
We're out there finding those deals, we're picking those games up. You know, we're flipping those games, we're keeping what we want out of it for our collections, and we're selling the other stuff. Now, are we getting full-blown retail out of the stuff? Sometimes, hell yeah, if it deserves full-blown retail, you got to get retail for it, you know? But, I mean, if it's something that I picked up for $5 and it's, you know, happens to be a freaking $30, $40, $50 game, $100 game, whatever, I can pass a deal on to somebody who wants that game. You know, I don't necessarily like that game, but I'm going to put this, this, and this in my collection, so I'm going to sell this game for, you know, maybe $15, $20 less in retail to make some of my money back. And then, like you said, that game goes to somebody who's going to enjoy it, and they get it exactly. for, you know, a discounted price versus, you know, they didn't have to go out and look for it. They didn't wake up at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, go out yard selling to find shit, you know. So I stand with the middleman on that kind of stuff, you know.
Absolutely, and I really support anybody who is the middleman, who is especially if you are the little shop owner.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're the mom and pop shop owner, or you own a couple shops or something like that, or let's say you don't even have a brick and mortar store and you're just reselling, okay, you're doing the conventions, you're doing the expos, you have an online shop, you're doing other people a service, and on top of that, you are putting. You're literally putting food on that person's table, as opposed to it going into Walmart, Target,
mm-hmm.
you know, GameStop, whoever. Exactly. And, you know, and I understand that GameStop needs to make money, but at the same time,
their business model's fucked.
Their business model is screwed, and that's how come GameStop's going to be gone in the next couple, 3 years if they don't do a major shift.
Yeah.
But With the digital wave coming probably in the next generation
that's going to kill it.
They're gone anyway. But I was in there yesterday, to pick up the Atari. Hey, did you guys see this?
I think Fake Hulk showed us that one.
Did Hulk Hogan show you that? Yeah, okay. Well, I picked that up yesterday, so I'm glad that Hulk showed you. But I was in there to pick it up yesterday, and there's a gentleman in there, and he had a box, and he had this controller. It was a PS5 controller. He just bought it the day before. Now, he did open it. So, and he comes back, and the reason why he bought it was he bought the new Gotham Knights game, and he thought it was split screen co-op. Gee, where was I hearing something about split screen co-op? Yeah. Anyway, so he comes in and very earnestly, very nicely is asking my friend who is the manager there. He says, is it possible I can return this? Because I didn't know this game was not going to be split screen. Mm-hmm. And my buddy, and he said, I apologize. No, you've already opened it. So he looked up how much it would be on trade, just for the heck of it. And the guy's standing there. He just paid $70 for this brand new controller.
Yep.
One day ago.
$15.
It hasn't been used. Yep, it was $15.
$15.
It was $15. I looked at him and I said, there's always marketplace. And he said, you know what? I can do that. Or my buddy that has the PS5, he needs another controller. I'm just going to give it to him.
Yep.
Give it.
Fuck yeah. I mean, hey, for $15, why not? I mean, shit.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can have something in your closet right now that maybe your best friend or your girlfriend's brother or somebody else might want, or somebody's having a really hard time because Christmas is coming up. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, you know, I'll tell you what, my mom and dad, my dad had a really good job. And when I was growing up, there was a time where he was in and out of the hospital a lot. And I think it was like my 8th birthday. Tell you this little story. It was like my 8th birthday. And he was in the hospital. He was going to be in there for about a week, 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was just like, what are we going to do? And then he was going to be on medical leave for a little while. So, you know, I had an Atari, and my cousin, who was considerably older than me, he was selling a whole bunch of games. So my mom, for my birthday, she said, I know your dad's in the hospital. I wrapped this. It's not brand new. That's why I didn't ask you. Hey, do you want a game? For at that time, a brand new game was $30, $35,
right?
Not $60, $70. She goes, I didn't ask you what game you wanted or whatever. You haven't really said anything about it. You know, but I got this box for you. It's not brand new, but I hope you like it. You know, I opened up this box, and my cousin was selling all these Atari games, including all the, you know, had the plastic case where you can stack them all, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And there must have been 25 games there.
Nice.
It was like, and I was like, I mean, you know, Outlaw, stuff like that, oh, Casino, hell yeah. Some games that I probably wouldn't play, but there was a Breakout, Super Breakout, a lot of good stuff in there, that not one that I have.
Right.
I mean, it was Atari, and I might have had, at the time, I might have had 8 games. Mm-hmm. She just, you know, quadrupled my collection in one fell swoop.
Oh, hell yeah.
And she said, she says, sweetheart, is this okay? And I gave her the biggest hug. I was like, Mom, this is fantastic. This is great. This is the best thing in the world. If you have something on a shelf sitting there and you know somebody's going through a hard time right now, ask them. They might just take it off your hands because kids don't care.
Right.
Some kids do. The spoiled rotten kids do care.
Spoiled some brats. Kids.
So I'll tell you what, you know, do yourself a favor because it may not go in your wallet, but it's going to go right here.
That's right.
That's where it's going to feel good.
You're feeling
not your wallet.
Definitely feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Game Junction, we care.
That's right. Exactly. Pass it along. Pass it along.
Well, you know, after I told Bonnie Ross to go screw herself. But that's a different kind of care.
We care on some levels. On other levels, you know, people can go fuck themselves.
Exactly. No,
have that balance there, you know.
Well, that's how come we're bringing this stuff up, because we actually do give a damn. Mm-hmm. You know, we give a damn about our fellow gamers. We give a damn about, you know, about the people who are out there working hard, you know, exactly. trying to make ends meet, and they want to get a little distraction from the woke mob out there and the craziness that's going on from day to day. And then
it's so weird how it happens in some areas and then some it doesn't. Like, you know, right here where I'm at, we don't get a whole lot of that shit. You know, I don't deal with a lot of that in my day to day. My job is pretty simple, just selling car parts and shit.
I don't either.
You know, we don't really get a lot of that stuff, but literally, like, you know, 50 miles down the road, if you go to Atlanta, it's a completely different fucking story, you know. Or if you go, you know, any major cities around, it's completely different. And I just can't deal with all that woke shit. I'm just done. Just let me go to work and come home and play my shit without having to be in every little aspect of my life. Like,
that's why I can't watch the news anymore. I'm tired of it.
You go watch a new movie. You go watch the news. You play any new fucking game. Like, it's all gotta be that way. You know, and there are some games coming out that is that way that I do want to play, though, like that Forspoken coming out for PlayStation. It looks like it's going to be a pretty cool game. It's kind of different, like a whole completely different IP. There's nothing been done like it, I don't think. You know, you have that the urban girl who gets kicked back to, like, an ancient world, and then she becomes, like, throwing magic and shit. And, like, I like throwing magic. I want to throw some magic in a game. So I'm hoping that game turns out good. Everything I've seen, it looks okay. You know,
the only way that The Last of Us 2 will ever make it in this house is if A, I see it for $5.
it'll be $5 at some point after they remake it 12 okay. times.
Because I have the first one, which I still never played yet. I have the first one, and I don't give a damn about a remake because I've got the HD remaster. What do I need a remake for? The game just came out like 8 years ago, 6 years ago. I mean, talk about trying to squeeze a turnip.
Milking it,
you know. Yeah, but anyway,
pulling a GTA 5 with The Last of Us.
Yeah, and I still have to, you know, finish GTA 5 because I've already told you guys I've had to start that over 3 damn times.
Yep.
So I have stuff on my shelf, and I know a lot of collectors out there who are watching have a ton of stuff on their shelf right now
backlog.
That have never been opened. And I was just talking to a gentleman about that earlier this evening. I said, I have stuff sitting on my shelf that has cellophane on it that I've never opened. I have games that I bought that I've never opened that I don't even know if they ever will get opened. Just because I have such a backlog, and who has the time?
Right.
Yeah, we continue to buy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, take that for whatever it's worth. Because I know that there's plenty of people out there.
The hard part about that is, like, if you want it new, right, you kind of got to buy it new when it's new. Because a lot of this new shit, it goes quick. And then if you want it, say, you know, 3 years from now new, good fucking luck. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And that you got that right, because I think sometimes you might go into a place and find something that you haven't touched. It's like $5 mm-hmm. on clearance. But, you know, if you want to grab that game brand new, you better get it when you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, sometimes a lot of the shit that hits those $5 shelves is all just like shovelware garbage. You know, like you can go to Five Below right. and you can definitely find new sealed games there, but it's not your first party titles, you know, not your AAA stuff. You know, you'll get some decent games from there for sure, but you know, like
90% of the time, like you said, it's shovelware crap.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's got to be something really old, because I know the right. local one that's here, they have, I think it's NBA, I want to say 2021 or 2020 sitting on the shelf.
Right.
And I'm like, it's an old game, and they got it there for $5 or $6. And I'm like, yeah, if you don't have it, I'm not a big sports title person Same. Anyway. So, you know, if I get the, you know, the $3 game that's sitting on mm-hmm. the shelf from 2 or 3 years ago,
yep.
I'm good.
Well,
you
know, and that's
what I'm not going to play with them much anyway.
You know, me and my buddy back here, we've had discussions about sports games and stuff. He's a huge sports game guy. And, you know, a lot of the sports guys are really into, you know, what's the campaign like on the new version? You know, what does the new version give me, you know, control-wise over my team versus, like, you know, not everybody buys it just to play online and trash talk people. You know, they do want the campaign of the game and to be able to, like, have that player management and just, you know, overall management of your team and your legacy and stuff like that, right? And be able to just to play a season out or just fast forward through the season, see what happens with your team, you know? So it's kind of, I feel like that's where a lot of the sports games are really lacking these days. They're just kind of focusing mainly on that multiplayer online shit, not really giving your solo player anything to play with.
Do you think that it's possible that they are forcing that on people? And what I mean by that is, it's not so much that, hey, the people who are playing these games are leaning that way.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more like they're trying to go that way because they know they can get your microtransactions and they can get your fees and stuff like that?
That's a good take on it, because, you know, you're not, I mean, as a solo campaign player, I wouldn't be going in and buying anything to make my character look different. You know, I wouldn't go in there and buy a 20 different hairstyle pack for my character. I would just play with what's right. in the game. You know, I think you're right on that. The only reason you would want to do that is if you're in that multiplayer aspect where you're trying to make your character look different than everybody else, you know, who you're playing with online. So maybe you would go in there and spend the $5 to get the 20 different hairstyles or the different tattoo pack or whatever. I don't even know what the right. hell they offer in the sports games these days. But that sounds like something they would fucking do. And if they don't, I don't know why they don't.
Well, I know when I play Rainbow Six Vegas 2, there's an oldie but a goodie, I try to look as ridiculous as possible. And mm-hmm. at that time, they didn't offer anything that you could buy online to change your character. And you could do quite a bit with it.
Right.
So yeah, I could definitely understand, but with Friday the 13th, the game, they had some of the 80s packs that you could buy, and there were only like 3 or 4 that you could buy, and they were all like mm-hmm. $3 each.
See, now that's reasonable. That's a reasonable thing, but when you get a pack that's literally like one costume or like a fucking skin for your gun,
$10
here, $9.99. That the skin for your gun is the thing that drives me the craziest, man. Like in Call of Duty and that kind of shit. Like, who the fuck is ever gonna see that besides me holding my gun looking at it, right? So, and I personally don't give a shit. It doesn't bother me whether it's just a plain metal gun or the damn thing's got pot leaves all over it. I don't care. But like, the dude shooting me in a fucking sniper rifle isn't gonna see that and go, oh shit, that guy's got the pot leaves on his gun. Holy shit. Like nobody cares.
Yeah, no. You know, I'm gonna play smartass devil's advocate. You know, you're playing, and then you're gonna go teabag somebody real quick, and you go, "Oh, look at his gun! How cute!"
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, right. I want one of those. Let me get my wallet.
Well, you can't teabag in Call of Duty anymore, right? Because I think when you kill them, their body just disappears and their loot drops, right? I don't know.
Yes, that is true. Mm-hmm. That is true. But yeah, for when I did my Friday the 13th video, I was talking about. Because depending upon which platform I'm playing it on,
mm-hmm.
If I'm playing it on the PlayStation, I think it is. It might be the Wii, not the Wii, the Switch. I bought the 80s pack where you could actually get the bikinis and stuff. And I'm like this really hot counselor, and I'm turning around, and I'm staring at her butt and stuff. And then I have it for all three consoles, and I'm like, oh, if I'm gonna play it on the Xbox, I gotta buy that again.
Ah, well,
it's not worth the $3 for me. But it was okay for just that time. But I understand that they're trying to make as much money as possible.
Right.
I get
definitely.
That. But wouldn't it be better if you made a quality game that would come out at $60 that has a physical copy that the disc is actually inside? That, you know, and just like Mark from Classic Game Room used to bitch about this, he would say, I paid my $50 or $60. He goes, when do I get the full game? After I have paid, you know, $15, $20 three or four more times.
For every DLC.
So now you've paid $80 plus your $60. So now you've played, now you've paid $140 for a game. I'll tell you what. You tell me how much the complete game is at the very, very, very beginning.
Right.
And I'll pay that price.
Well, I'm wondering,
to milk you.
Okay, so like with Resident Evil, what's the newest one? Is it Biohazard they keep dropping all these DLCs for right now, or is it The Village? Maybe The Village.
The Village.
So, I mean, like, fuck, man, they're just still dropping them. They keep dropping. Oh, here's the new expansion for this winter thing, and then this one over here, and this... Like, can you not just do all that shit at the beginning? Do they not have that planned out? They're like, okay, so we're gonna drop the game, and then maybe a couple months we're gonna drop a DLC, and then another month we'll do another DLC. I mean, like, can we not just get it all at once? Mortal Kombat. Okay, I can't even with that bullshit. You get a battle pass with Mortal Kombat now, and then you get fucking character packs you have to buy to play all the other people. Man, fuck you. Okay,
and then
give me the damn character list.
And then at the very end, they go, oh, now here's the Ultimate Edition. So now you have everything. Yes. You're going, but I already bought all this
shit. I just spent $600 buying all these fucking characters, and now I could just pay $70 for the Ultimate Edition? Like, get out of here.
And the Ultimate fan is going to say, well, I bought this one. Now, this last one, 11, was the first time they ever had multiple storylines going on. So you got the aftermath, and that had, more characters and a completely new story. So that's technically two games, kind of, sort of, like Mortal Kombat 11 and Mortal Kombat 11 and a half. And then they came out with the Ultimate. So if you paid for it, $60, I don't know, the other one, when Aftermath came out, that was $60 or just $40.
But I think it's probably like a $40 60 download 60 or something.
Yeah, but I was just like, no, I wasn't going to buy that, even though it had RoboCop. And it had Terminator, and I was like, oh, that's awesome. And then
Rambo,
then they came out with that Ultimate Edition. Yeah, it had Rambo. And I was like, you know what? I know that they're going to come out with an Ultimate Edition, and I waited for that. So I still have the first, 11, then I have 11 Ultimate. I didn't get the one in the middle.
Yeah.
And so...
I mean, I do want to check it out for the story mode. I just can't do any kind of fighting games online these days, because there's so many kids on there that are just so badass, and they just... I get my dick kicked in every time I try.
I'm gonna say two things that are old adages. One, P.T. Barnum used to say, there's a sucker born every minute. And that is true of even me. Am I the most frugal person in the world? Am I the person who's going to go, no, Mortal Kombat 12's out, and I'm not buying it until, the second it drops to like $30, I'll buy it. And then I go, shit, now they're going to come out with the next one, with the Ultimate Edition. I'm going... But that's where the second adage comes in. A fool and his money are soon parted, which is basically the same thing.
Yeah.
So,
well, I don't understand. How are they going to do Mortal Kombat 12 when they have 11 with all these Battle Pass shit? It's got, like, seasons in it, does it not? Like, Mortal Kombat 11 has, like, the season pass where you pay, like, $20 or whatever for, like, a 3-month pass to play something. I don't even know how that fucking works.
I don't know. I don't play it online, so I haven't the slightest clue.
Right.
I mean, I'm all for playing in my living room.
Yeah, maybe that's what I need to do, then just get in play story mode and get through it like that and try that. Because I really do like the Mortal Kombat universe. Like, that's one of my favorite fucking franchises, like, they ever did. So they just killed me when they went to the online shit and when they went to that whole Battle Pass scheme. Like, I mean, I've said it before with, like, Fortnite, but they've got the Battle Pass thing right. They give you the option to buy it the first year or whatever, and then you play and you can earn your coins to get it the next time instead of having to pay for it each time.
I wouldn't be opposed, because I remember when Mortal Kombat Armageddon came out. That was the last three-dimensional one, and that was for the PlayStation 2. I don't know if it came out for the Xbox or not.
It was. I got it on Xbox.
Did it? And, you know, I had the Steelbook edition back there. I think it only came in Steelbook.
I think Armageddon was the one that had, like, a bunch of different, like, variant cover arts, was it not? Like, each character, like four or five of the main characters had their own cover art for it.
But I remember it came with a second disc, and it had Mortal Kombat Chess, mm-hmm. it had Mortal Kombat Karts,
right.
It also had, if I'm not mistaken, it had Mortal Kombat,
was the puzzle,
I want to say
Puzzle
one,
Fighter game?
Yep, and it also had 1, 2, and Ultimate Mortal Kombat 3 in there.
Mm.
So,
yeah,
you know, exactly. Yay with that. But I would be okay if they said, hey, we're going to go back, and we're going to give you Mortal Kombat 1, 2, 3, and 4 completely remastered. Mm. Well, you would have to remake it.
Yeah, yeah.
You would have to remake it.
Yeah, for sure. You couldn't remaster it. It would look stupid if you tried to remaster it.
Yeah. Remake all of them, put them on one disc, and let me have that bad boy. Right. And if you did something where it was called Ultimate Mortal Kombat Across, you know, I don't know what title you'd give it, where, because sometimes with 4 and 3 and 2, you didn't have, and even 1, you didn't have all the same characters.
Mm.
So you might have Melina in, right. say, 3, or Shiva in 3, but you, mm-hmm. maybe one of them would not be in 4. So
a console-exclusive character?
Yes,
they did the complete collection, right? That was on, what, PS3, I think, and Xbox 360? They called it the complete collection with K's instead of C's?
I think that is correct.
But that was before, you know, shit, anything nowadays. So, I mean, they could definitely redo that. And I don't know. I was trying to think of a clever title for it real quick, but I couldn't come up with anything either.
Well, the guys are telling me that I sound echoey for some reason. I don't know why. I don't hear it.
I don't hear it either on my end.
No, I think both Shane and Brandon said that I sound echoey. I don't know.
Could just be my shitty stream. My crappy
Never
internet.
Know. Hey, I got something here that I did a video on. I'm going to go ahead and open it up here if that's all right.
Hell yeah.
Since we're a little light on
material.
Our staff tonight and guests. So, yeah, the Hallmark came out with this lovely, if you can see it, the Sega Genesis.
Nice.
With Model 1 there. So let's open her up. I just went to Hallmark the other day and grabbed it because I definitely... Here's the batteries. I'm not going to bother messing and putting the batteries in right now. I mean, I can.
Now you can definitely check out his video on his YouTube page as well. He put one up the other day when he found it in the store. That thing is awesome.
She's so cute.
It is. It is so detailed.
And it's loud, too. It is. You know, it only take me a second to put the batteries in.
Nice. Yeah, I think I've got... I can't remember which one I've got over here. I think it's the original Nintendo. Maybe the Super. Hang on, I can grab mine right quick. I got it right over here.
Ah. Yeah, the I know that they just came out with the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis this year. And I believe they're both the same price, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Sega Genesis, for some reason, I think that one's $22.99 or...
Yeah, the one I've got is the original Nintendo when it came out. I guess it was a couple years ago now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Does it play music or anything?
Yeah, it does it does Mario, I believe.
Yeah, because they got the Super Nintendo. I like to get the Super Nintendo.
Yeah, I need to get that one too. I need to get that one. I haven't even hung this thing on the Christmas tree. I just bought it. Yeah.
Well, I think these batteries are less impossible.
This is actually like the first level.
I stabbed my hand! Okay. Here we go. You see, I wanted to open it up live here. I didn't want to go, well, I'm going to pre-open the batteries. Because that would have been... Well, it would have been me opening it up.
No, it's not live. You didn't open that fresh.
So, okay, where is it?
Nice. I love that. I love that.
And it lights up too. Now the cool thing is, let me get the. My daughter will want. Let me push the button, Daddy.
Right.
And then I'm gonna want to throw the thing off the balcony. Then. So yeah, the actual button to turn it on and off
is the power
button. Actual on and off switch.
Nice. Yeah. That's the way the Nintendo one is as well. Like the actual power button is the power switch on the little toy.
Now, I do have a video coming out for the Super Nintendo one, but I have that one scheduled to come out the day before Christmas. So if I keep... Now, this the video for this one, it's just a short.
Yeah.
It was going to come out the day before Thanksgiving, but I said, well, I didn't have my Torque video ready, and I wanted to put something up on Friday for everybody, so I tossed that up there. So, but yeah.
That's awesome.
But Sonic it, look such how detailed a good... that is.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was looking at.
Yeah, I really liked the first two.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the third one that well.
See, I played Sonic. I remember Sonic and Knuckles more than I do really any of the other ones. That and Sonic Spinball. I don't know why the hell I played Sonic Spinball so much. That shit was just so fun back then.
I liked Sonic Spinball, and I for some reason, I don't know why, just like, I don't know why, but I played Sonic 3D Blast,
mm-hmm.
and I had it for the Genesis, which it wasn't that great, and I think I had it for the Saturn, because I never had a Sega CD.
Let me let this dog
Sega
out right
CD.
Quick. She's got to go to the bathroom.
Oh, no! Dog's over there holding itself, going, please let me outside, please let me outside. But, yeah, I just recently got, because I actually had an at-game Sega Genesis. I didn't have an actual Sega Genesis anymore, and I was holding out to get a Model 1, like this one. And when I was at Torg, I saw one, and I was going to grab it, and I said, well, if I don't get it there, I'll just grab it from Rock'em Sock'em Retro here in Bowling Green, Ohio. Mm. And I was kept hemming and hawing, and I want the Model 1. Because mm-hmm. I actually had one game that will not play on an emulation system, and that's Fire Shark.
Mm.
And I even got it from eBay, I took it down to Rock'em Sock'em. I'm like, will you please test this and make sure it works before I, you know,
right.
contact this guy and say, hey, it doesn't work. And they go, yeah, no problem. So they tested it in a regular Genesis, and it worked fine. And I said,
I think I have heard of a couple games that are that way. They will not play on like any kind of emulation system. Like nope. You have to have like normal hardware for it to play on.
Yep, and Fire Shark is one of those. So I caved in and I bought a Model 2 Sega Genesis this past week from Rock'em Sock'em. Because at Torg, I did see one and it got so busy there.
Right.
And when I went back by to see if the Genesis, I couldn't remember where it was, number one.
That's a big ass place. There was,
yeah, and there were so many people there that even if I would have seen it, you know, or even if I would have been by the stand that had it,
right,
I would have been able to see it because there were just so many people there. So I just asked.
Yeah, that shit looked like it needed to be a 2-day show for sure, man. Like, I don't know. That's crazy. That many people for one day? That's awesome.
According to what I've been told, and Brandon would probably know more because he's, you know, more involved with Torg. You know, he's actually involved with Torg and I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I do have Brandon's ear, and then also John from Rock'em Sock'em. You know, there's some stuff that he's willing to divulge here and there, but, you know, they got to keep some stuff.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
The chest. They can't just tell the general public like me everything. But I do know that next year, I know one of the guests. I will not say who it is, but it's a very big guest. So I'm very, very much looking forward to seeing this particular guest.
Nice.
And I have messaged with this guest a couple times online and, you know, can't wait. And it's also going to be in a much larger facility, 4 times the size of the facility
Jesus.
It's in. Yeah. Now, this place, the only reason, was it adequate? Yes. It was for me, it was much more adequate a space than CGC in Cleveland was.
Mm.
And the only reason why CGC was so crowded was because the IX Center in Cleveland is under construction right now.
Ah.
It was bought out by new owners. It had been sitting there for 2 years and it needs some refurbishment. So they put a lot of it downstairs. They couldn't use the upstairs as much as they wanted. And it got very, very crowded, and I got the heck out of there. And a lot of people complained about how crowded and how hot it was downstairs.
Right.
Torg was not like that. There was plenty of elbow room. Yeah, you had to wait to get in, you know, in front of some tables like you would anywhere.
Right.
But they had to they literally had to turn away 200 vendors that wanted to be there.
Damn.
Imagine if they would have had 200 more vendors.
Right. No,
they
sure.
had a lot there. And
yeah, but you couldn't. At some point, you got to know what you can fit in that room comfortably and what you can't, you know?
Exactly. And that's how come they had their cutoff point and they mm-hmm. said, this is it. And kudos to everybody from Torg. You guys did a great job. I did lend a hand here and there. My wife also volunteered painting faces for the kids zone. But I didn't, you know, I'm not one of the staff members. I was just somebody who they was happened to be there and they said, can you help out with this real quick? And I was happy to go, yeah, I'll give you a hand.
Oh, yeah.
And was I one of the staff members? No. And was I one of the people on the planning committee? No. I'm going to take my hat off to you guys and say thank you so much. Thank you for the guests you had. Thank you for just the fantastic show you had there and for doing things as well as you did do. And I know it's getting bigger and better every year.
Oh, yeah.
The marketing is really, really great. Now, from a graphic design standpoint, though, I will say this, because I am a graphic designer. On that website, there are a couple changes I would make. And I will tell you the number one change I would make is the address was very difficult for me to find because there was a lot of visual clutter. Mm. Either put the address and contact information on a completely separate page where it's really, really clean, or just don't put clutter around it so that way people can see it immediately. But other than that, it's a very beautiful website. It's highly functional. The UI is very good. And Mike Coletti, I believe is his name, mm-hmm. the gentleman who, you know, it's his brainchild.
Yep.
You know, Mike, you did a great job. And I will say this. This is the only thing I'm going to say about an incident that occurred. We had a small incident with a volunteer who thought that they were drunk with power.
Oh, fun. And
they,
bitch, you're a yeah, volunteer.
They were not being very nice to somebody, and I had to take care of it. I'll say this much. They weren't being, this person, this has nothing to do with Torg. This person was not being very cool, and they were not being very cool to my wife. Mm. And of course, I'm going to take that personally, and they took care of it promptly and with high satisfaction. And so thank you guys. Thank you to Mike for helping take care of that because, you know, you got to treat people with dignity and respect. And that's one thing that Torg does. They have a lot of people coming in there. They know that you can't satisfy everybody.
Facts.
You know, I heard that there was one person going, well, there's not enough to do here. Well, that's on you.
Go home.
I mean, I'm not a tattoo person. They had tattoo artists there
right.
doing tattoos. That's cool. I don't have a tattoo on my body. I think that's the coolest thing in the world that they actually had somebody there doing that.
Right.
I think, you know, they did the best with what they had, with the facilities they had. And I'll tell you what, next year it's just going to be mind-blowingly fun, even better than this year. And I cannot wait.
Yeah.
I cannot wait. So
probably have to take a week vacation and come up there for that one.
Oh, heck yeah, you do?
Yeah, me and Shane were talking about doing that possibly next year.
I mean, heck yeah, get yourself a table, man. I mean, mm-hmm. I know you could sell and become one of the vendors there. And
I wouldn't sell. I would just go up there and hang out and check it out, man. That'd be
just
one.
Go there and hang out?
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude. That'd be one I'd like to go just hang out.
Well, the unfortunate thing was because I bought three VIP passes. I got one for me. No, I'm sorry. I got one VIP pass for me. I bought two. I got one for my son, and then my best friend, my brother mm-hmm. Rick, he was going to be coming too, and he was actually going to be operating the camera, and so that way I wasn't doing it myself.
Right.
And he's had a lot of problems with kidney stones lately, and mm-hmm. the night before we go down, he ended up in the hospital. So now I have his VIP. I got my son's VIP. Lynn was getting in VIP for free, so right. that's okay. So I'm like, I was going to try to get a refund. And then it didn't happen. So what did I do? I gave away to two people in the crowd.
Hell yeah.
So, you know, and that's the thing.
So what was the VIP happy. Tickets? What was the perks of the VIP tickets there?
Okay. You get in an hour early. Mm-hmm. Now I'll be honest. Is an hour enough time? No. And here's why. There was a long line for people to get in for their VIPs.
Mm-hmm.
So
even by the time you're the last VIP in, your hour's already pretty much gone.
Yes, by the time the last VIP was in, it was about, I want to say 9:30, 9:40.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that if you have VIP registration, they should allow you to, you should be able to line up at 8:30 or even 8 o'clock,
mm-hmm.
get your lanyard, get your bag, get your goodies, and you have to still go back outside and wait. And then at 9 o'clock, when everything's ready, they allow everybody in. That way, everybody's coming in at the same time, and everybody's getting equal opportunity. That's just me.
Right.
I don't know if logistically it's possible, but I think that that's what they should do. So, but yeah, you got that. You got a bag full of goodies. There's the bag right here.
Nice.
It's a nice little bag, you know. I mean, you know, if you want to
carry stuff tote around in, and carry stuff in.
Yeah. I was mistaken. I thought a shirt came with it. Mm. Shirt does not come with it. So,
gotcha.
But you got a cool lanyard that had, it might either have Torg Man on it or Torque Man. There might have been one out there that had their other mascot, the Hoarder,
mm-hmm.
which I still never got pictures with those guys. And I was like, ah, but you know, you only have so much time.
Oh, I know.
And then you got like, I think there was like a stretchy bracelet and there was a pin and a couple other odds and ends.
Okay.
Some people might feel that the $40, I think it was a good value. Especially if you're getting in an hour early to check things out.
Right.
I think that if they're not going to let people come in and get get all their stuff before 9 o'clock, so that way they ought to give you an hour and a half to come mm-hmm. in early. So that
right.
way that extra half hour is your buffer.
Yeah.
So that's just me, and that's not Torg. Yeah.
That way your very first people in line, they get that little perk. You know, if it's in VIP hour and a half, you know, they get in a little bit quicker than everybody else because they were the first ones in line. So, you know, you get that little bit of extra time versus the guy who showed up in the VIP at the end.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the parking lot, it was actually, I'll be honest, it was actually kind of difficult. My GPS, because mm-hmm. it was at a building over by, somewhere where the Ohio State Fair is done. And my GPS, I use two different GPSs, my wife's and mine.
Right.
And we used two different ones, and it was getting confused on where to go.
Mm.
And you had to go through one parking lot and go down through another parking lot, and then you had like this little area. And it was a little confusing.
Right.
So maybe it won't be so confusing next year. Is that Torg's fault? No, not Torg's fault at all. It's just where the building was.
Yeah.
But like I said, no complaints from me.
I've had that with a lot of conventions and shit I go to, though, especially a lot of them that are down here that are in like big convention centers. It's not really like they're just like, this is where it's at. Good luck. And then you really just have to find where you're parking. Where the fuck do I park at? Because I'm not from the city, right? So I don't do city shit much. I'm a country boy. I like a parking lot I pull into, I park, I get out, and I walk to the building. You go out to Atlanta out here at some of these conventions, and it's like you got to park, you know, 5 blocks away down here in this parking center, pay $20 to park for the day, get out and find your way back to the convention center, and then, oh, wait, no, you're on the wrong side. You got to go around the building to the other side, and then get into the building that way, walk through the whole fucking building just to get over to the room that the little convention's in. You know, like, it's some of them get a little confusing for sure.
Yeah, and you know, they had some great guests. Of course, the immortal John Hancock was there. I subscribe to his channel.
Mm-hmm.
John is very knowledgeable. He definitely knows his stuff when it comes to the history of video games. He has, if I'm not mistaken, he has, I want to say it's 12 complete collections or 9 complete collections.
Damn.
I forget. And of course his video game museum is finally going through. He's been putting this thing together for a long time. It's been a logistical nightmare for him. So they are getting that put together. I can't listen. It's like this. I'm not want to go to the West Coast kind of a guy, but when the day comes that museum is open, or mm-hmm. if I can at least go that first week, I'd love to come
taking
out there
that trip.
And take that trip. I would love to.
Yeah, we need to plan that out too, because
to
I can tell you that.
I've been told by some people, you don't need to go to PGRE. If you've been to this convention or that convention, you've said, you know, sometimes it's just like, you know, somebody go, well, if you've been to Japan, you've been to China.
Right.
No!
Yeah, no.
No. No, it's two different cultures, two different countries, completely different. That's like saying if you go to Canada,
what's the biggest one you've heard of so far,
okay.
though?
The biggest one I've ever heard of is PGRE.
How many days is it?
I think that I want to say it goes over. I want to say they start on Friday and go through Sunday, but I'm not sure. I know there's a couple that go 2 or 3 days, and I think that's one of the big ones.
That's what I was going to say. We got one in Atlanta, the Southern Fried Gaming Expo, and it's not like a sales convention per se. It is more of a fucking expo. Like, they have everything. So they got all the guest side rooms. They got like a huge tabletop area where you can just grab something off their library and sit on and play it. They have a vendor area. They have a museum area. They have a PC museum area, which is really neat.
Oh, cool.
And it's over 4 days, I believe. Now it's up to like 3 or 4 days. But at night, like after the big show, they have like one night, they have like adult comedy. So like you go down to the room and it's just like a comedy show. And one night they have wrestling in there. So they have like a whole ass wrestling ring set up, and it's like a straight up fucking, 2-hour wrestling match going on. And like, that's the convention to go to down here, man. Like, if you got time, and it's not even a convention, it's a fucking straight up expo. But like, if you've got time and you're down here in the Southeast area at all, Southeast area, are close to Georgia, period, like, make the trip out for Southern Fried Gaming Expo, because that's the one to see. Huge pinball, free play arcade room. I think that last time they had over, like, I want to say like 500 or more machines in there, arcades and pinball, just set up. Come on in and play.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
Really cool. Yeah. I'm gonna try to get involved with him if I can. I know the guy that runs it, his name's Shannon, really, really cool guy. I hit him up anytime I got any questions about like our little convention stuff that we do. I'm like, hey, what would you do in this situation? And they're always really nice about giving advice, being a huge ass thing like that. It's nice to have somebody to give some advice.
Yeah, I think some of the bigger ones I wouldn't mind going to. I know that there's another one. Gosh, where is that one? I know there's another one on the East Coast someplace that's always real big every year, and I can't remember the name.
So you got some up north in Syracuse, New York. They have some really big ones up there. A lot of them that I don't really know about because I haven't branched out that far, because it's just like, fuck, I'm never going to get a chance to go. But I know they got some big ones in Texas as well. Texas has some really big ones.
And I know that Phoenix has a pretty big one as well. Mm. I've heard that one's really big. I've heard of some big ones out there in Texas. I've only been to three, and that was this year. And so far, CAG, which was the North Olmsted, Ohio, or AKA Cleveland, mm-hmm. which is like right on the outskirts of Cleveland. And you know what? I was there by myself, and I had an absolute blast. I was a little intimidated at first,
right?
Because I didn't know what to expect. And it was a little smaller, but I'll tell you what, it was a hell of a lot of fun. And I don't know the comparison to how many tables CAG had by comparison to, say, Torg, mm-hmm. but they had a lot of room, and there were a lot of tables and a lot of different people there with a lot of stuff, some cosplayers there too, and I was really impressed with it. Nice. And CGC, my best friend went there with me, and we were kind of like, eh. And I was talking with, I won't say specifically who, but there was a vendor there who did very, very well. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, here's the difference. He said there were a lot of people complaining about how hot it was, how crowded it was. And that's just because of, like I said earlier, the IX Center was under construction, and next year they'll have a lot more room. And I said, I'll give it another chance next year.
Yeah.
Because I have a feeling that, but here was the problem with CGC in Cleveland. And they, according to what I was told, they merged, because it's the Cleveland Gaming Classic. It merged with some huge toy classic or something.
Ah, okay.
So you had 70% of the tables there.
All toy shit.
Was toys and stuff that had nothing to do with either toys. I mean, there was somebody selling incense. There was somebody selling tasers. And I'm going,
see,
I understand what.
That right there is why you have to vet your fucking vendors, man. Like, I'll be damn, we run a show, we run a nice little show down here in Georgia, and I tell people, like, I don't mind you having cool shit, right? You got games, you got toys, you got collectibles, you got something pop culture related, pop figures are fine, like, that kind of stuff, just something along those lines. But I'll be damned if I'm going to have a fucking flea market vendor out there selling their Chinese tasers and fucking that bullshit, man. Like, yeah. No, that's stupid. I mean, no incense. Yeah. Like, what the fuck does an incense booth have to do with anything gaming related? You know, have an art person. Yeah. Pick somebody who makes shit and put them in that spot, you know? Somebody who makes clocks, you know, gaming-related clocks, or, like, etches glass with, like, gaming-related stuff. Something cool like that.
It would be one thing if they had two or three tables and they had this stuff over there. It's like, I've also got this stuff, too. I know it's right out of place, but I've got this stuff, too. But I'm here for the gaming stuff. It's just like, yeah, man, mm-hmm. You want some cool-smelling lavender incense? Woo! No. Get the fuck out of here!
Exactly.
But I said though, from, cause I literally spent, I spent $10, 10 whole bucks. Mm-hmm. And there was another guy I was going to go back and get something, and it just got so busy and so hot. We were just like, let's go get lunch, get the hell out of here. But you know, he said he did better at that convention than he did anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And you know, he also has a lot of toys and stuff like that too.
Right.
And that's great. That's great from that perspective. But from my perspective, this isn't something just for you, the vendor. You are inviting the public to come there, and he knows that there needs to be more games there for the Cleveland Gaming
right.
Classic. Not the Cleveland Toy Classic,
right.
The Cleveland Gaming
exactly.
Classic. Okay. And you have to have the room there so that way people aren't going, you know, bumping into each other and wondering what the hell's going on. So maybe the Cleveland Gaming Classic next year will be a little more gaming focused. If you want to have toys and stuff there too, I get it. You merge, but you should rename it to Cleveland Gaming and Toy Classic so that right. way you're not going, where are the games?
Exactly.
The year before,
rebrand it.
The year before they had two tables. The year before, 2021, they had two gaming tables. That was it. The rest was all toys.
Jesus.
Yeah. And it wasn't even there. It was actually, I was told it was actually at a hotel lobby someplace in downtown Cleveland. So I guess it was a real, forgive me for saying this, it was a real shit show.
Right. It happens.
And they, I know, and especially, you know, we were just coming out of COVID at the time. Mm-hmm. I get it. Next year, I'm hoping for much better. And there were a few things that I was looking for. I didn't get to actually, but there was a couple things that I found that I was like, okay, yeah, I can grab that. And I grabbed that. I spent a whole $10-$15. There was one dude, I don't know. All right. There was one guy, he had a lot of real high dollar items, a lot of, you know, holy grails and stuff. And everything was locked in cases,
mm-hmm.
except for he had this one little bin.
I love those cases. The case vendors. Yeah, those are my favorite.
You know, he had this one little bin that had Lynx games and 3DO games, and they were all in plastic cases. And perfect. That was great. But everything else, all locked in cases, you know, Musha, things like that. Everything locked away. This guy had the holy grails for people. And, you know, I hope he sold a lot. I really do.
He probably did, too. A lot of times, like, they put that shit in those cases, that shit goes. Like, we had, it's kind of funny, I say it sold at our show, but we had a guy had a Stadium Events, loose copy of Stadium Events for sale for $35,000 in a case at our last show, and it sold online. It was an online bidder that bought it, but, like, it was still cool to actually see it, like, sitting there and then walking back by there and seeing the sold sign on it, and I'm like, hold up, that fucking sold here? Like, $35,000? Like, Jesus Christ, like, that's crazy.
I think Brandon had a photograph from when I looked at some of his pictures, and there was a
the graded one
that they had there. Yeah, the graded one.
$92,000.
$92,000? Wow. Yep.
$92,000.
I mean, I guess if you're that much of an enthusiast and you've got that kind of money,
you know, if you want it, you want it.
Even if I had that kind of money, listen, if there was a graded one of these, and the guy who played, if Hader, David Hader, signed it and brought it to my house, I still wouldn't pay $92,000.
No.
I would not pay $9,000, but
right.
$900.
Yeah,
David Hader was going to come to my,
I mean, now, I'm not going to lie, I paid $800 for a fucking stack-up complete inbox for original Nintendo. from my black box set. But I just, again, you know, as we talked about earlier, I literally just took shit out of my collection, sold it.
Traded it in.
Sold it to people, took that money, bought something else I wanted to put on the shelf, you know, so it all comes full circle. If you got a good enough collection to do that shit with, I told a buddy of mine at work that, you know, I was like, he's like, well, how do you have all this extra money for stuff? I'm like, well, I don't. He's like, well, how do you buy all this extra shit? I'm like, well, I have collateral. I have collateral. Like, I have shit on my shelf that I can literally just take and pop online and sell it in, like, a few minutes, you know? Or maybe it take a couple days at best. But, like, if it's something I really want and I don't really need this, I can sell it.
Heck yeah. Yeah, oh, I have, matter of fact, this stack right here. That's stuff I'm getting ready to get rid of just because, like, that Godzilla's in this. As a matter of fact, there's two copies of Godzilla. There's the PS3 copy and there's the PS4 copy in
there.
Yeah,
that's the money one.
I have Celeste unopened from Limited Run Games in there with the card and everything. And there's a few other things in there that I'm never going to touch them. I'm never going to play them.
Yep.
Let somebody else who's just, like, really excited about it take it, and that way if I want to take it and I want a Vectrex. I want a Vectrex.
Nice.
Because
Shane sold one of those not too long ago.
That is my holy grail. I was talking to Bill Tendo. Remember Bill Tendo from a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
I was talking to him at Torg. What a lovely guy. Just, I mean, it's great talking to him online, but just, he's so funny and he's such a nut.
He seemed like a really genuine character.
He is a genuine gentleman. Nice. When he met my wife, you know, he was just, you know, very nice and very cordial to her. My hat's off to him. Bill, love you. You're fantastic. But, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, I don't have any holy grails. And all of a sudden I went, yeah, I do. I want a Vectrex. So if anybody has a Vectrex out there you're willing to part with, you know, for real cheap, or you want to donate it to the game closet, you know, I'll be happy to take it off your hands.
Do a nice video for you.
Well, yeah, absolutely, because I may have told this story before, and I'll just give you, like, the 5-cent version. 23 and a half years ago, matter of fact, around this time, 24 years ago, this time, I got one in the mail. I had bought it from eBay, and I got it fairly inexpensively, and it was a beautiful condition, had a couple games with it, and then my wife and I, we were pregnant, and we fell on, and we had only been married for, like, you know, since July at that time, and this is my ex-wife, and so we were having our first child, and then we fell on some hard times for just a short time. I got laid off, and I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to hunker down and sell a few things, and I have two car payments to pay for, and insurance, and rent, and all that stuff.
Right.
I had the Vectrex for less than a month, and I had to sell it.
Ugh.
And that never hurts. Got another one.
That shit hurts.
Yeah, now, is it like a, oh, it's a problem? No. But, you know, that was 24 years ago. And there was one on Marketplace about 3 years ago, and I came this close to getting it, and it sold, like, minutes before I got my hands on it.
Mm.
Do I need it? No.
No. You want it? Yes.
Yeah. This stack of stuff right here, if it goes, But dude, Tony, there are people who gouge, too.
Oh, for sure. 100%. 100%.
Yeah, there was a guy that I saw him at CGC, and I saw him at CAG just the month before.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of boxed items and stuff like that. And, you know, that's fine. I don't want it boxed. It doesn't have to be boxed. As long as it works and is in fairly good cosmetic condition, I'll be happy with it.
As long as it looks decent.
But this guy, he was outrageous on his prices. Even for some of his stuff, like, he had a Vectrex system boxed. And the box was beat to shit, and he wanted $850 for it.
Jesus.
What universe? What, I mean, you know, a Vectrex should be going for $350 to $450 right now. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. And so, in what universe, you know, is this, you know, and this guy's looking to get rich off of this stuff.
Yeah.
And guess what? He had it at the first convention I was at. He'll have it at the next four
until it gets down to that price range where somebody's going to buy it.
There were some people that I saw at Torg that I went, Yeah, that guy's way too expensive, and that guy's way too expensive. But I know right. if you're gonna buy a few things, you can say, hey, can I bundle this? And there were a couple really nice vendors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, willing to do the bundle deals.
Yeah, and I said, hey, can I get this? And I get this, and they knocked like $5-$10 off, yep. And they did. And there were some people like for example, that if you saw the video that I just posted, I got that iMac.
Mm-hmm.
And I when the guy said, hey, you know, I'll give it to you for, you know, give me, like, you know, make me an offer. And I'm like, I don't even know how much it's worth anymore. Because I used to have one back in the day.
Right.
But I don't know how much they're worth. I know how much it costs to ship it.
Yeah, exactly.
It would cost. Yeah, if you were trying to buy one right now and ship it to anywhere, it's going to cost you $40 to $50 yep. to ship that son of a bitch.
Just because the box has got to be big enough and protected.
Yeah. And I got it for less than $50, but I was taking a chance because it didn't have a power cord. He said, I promise you, the guy I got it from promised me.
Yeah, right.
Says it
dual
worked.
Promises over here.
Yeah, dual promises. He goes, for the price you're about to pay, I'll just tell you, it was $40.
Right.
He said, you know, a friend of mine said, you know, $30 would be a little better for the, you know, for the risk. And, you know, maybe I should not have offered him 30, but that's okay. Not wrong, no. So, but yeah, but this guy was wanting to get rid of stuff. He wanted to sell stuff. He did not want to reload his truck. And, you know, kudos to somebody who is there to make a deal. And, you know, he's not there to give away stuff either. But there you go. Mm-hmm. You had somebody come by and just, I'm just curious, you know.
Well, I mean, the same situation happened with me in Alabama when we were on our way back from vacation. We stopped by this flea market in Alabama, walking around. I found a couple game things and like, a couple little game booths that people had in there. But we were walking by this outside table, and dude had the PlayStation 3D TV sitting out there on the table with a pair of the 3D glasses, right? Had a power cord and everything with it. And I'm like, well, shit, that's cool as fuck. How the random ass spot in fucking bumfucked Alabama run across a PlayStation 3 TV? And like in my head, I know that's like a $150 TV sitting there. And I asked the guy, I'm like, hey, man, you know, what are you asking on your TV? And he's like, I'd like to get $200 for it. And I mean, I bucked immediately. You know, I could tell he knew by my body posture, there's no fucking way in hell I'm paying $200 for that thing sitting out here in this flea market in Alabama, you know. And I just had bought this Xbox backpack and shit, so he knew I was a gamer. I'm sure I had a game shirt on. And he's like, well, you know, I started to walk away, and he's like, well, make me an offer on it, man. It's just business. And I'm like, dude, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't want to offend you at all. I said, I'm going to have to not make you an offer on it. He goes, no, dude, seriously, like, just say a number. We'll see where we're at. Maybe we can make a deal. And I'm like, dude, I was like, I wouldn't pay you no more than $50 for that thing. I said, just because, A, I don't think I have room in the car for it because we have all our luggage that we're going home. I said, and B, I don't even know if it works. I said, $50 would be the most I'm willing to pay for it. And he's like, let me make a phone call right quick. And he goes over and like acts like he's calling somebody and shit. And he comes back and he's like, could you do 100? And I'm like, no, dude. I said, honestly, it's either $50 or I'm walking away without it. I said, that's it. And he's like, all right, just hurry up before I change my mind. So I walked away with this fucking PlayStation 3D TV for $50. Got it home. It works just fine. I've got to get a battery put in the glasses. But other than that, like, sure, I'll take that for $50, man. Like,
heck so yeah.
It's really like, you know, and honestly, I did not want to even offer him the money for it because I didn't know if I could take it home. And I was, again, I'm the kind of person, I don't want to offend people. Like, I don't want to piss people off. I mean,
right.
I will, you know, I mean, at the same time, I don't care, but I'm like, it's business. So it's like, $50 is all I can give you, man. It's like, I kind of felt bad saying it, but he was just like, and then he took it. So shit. I mean, if you don't put it out there, you never know what you're going to get.
Well, you and I were talking about the PSVR recently,
mm-hmm.
you know, PS4, PSVR.
Ooh. Speaking of, I'm sorry, before you mention this, I do have one more little piece of news and we're done with fucking news, but
yeah.
No Man's Sky has officially announced that it will be supported in PSVR 2 at launch. So you can play No Man's Sky in PSVR 2 at launch.
Yes. Interesting.
That's
so
nice.
You'll actually be able to take your PS4 disc that you had originally.
They didn't say that.
And then
they didn't say that specifically.
Okay, no.
But it will be, the game itself is supported at launch. So I don't know if you have to buy a new copy or if it's going to be.
Buy a new copy, maybe.
Right. Maybe if you have like a PS5 version of the game, it would be supported for the VR2 because I don't know if the VR2 is going to work on PS4. That's another thing I have not found out yet. I don't know that. I think you may have to have a PS5 for that.
if from everything that I'm hearing, it is not backward compatible. You have to have PS5 to run the PSVR 2.
That sucks for a lot of people.
And none of the games are backward compatible either. That's why I was going, oh, No Man's Sky is going to be the only one. But like right. you said,
yeah, there's no backwards compatibility on the games yet at all. And I think there's only like 13 titles that are actually going to be available for purchase at launch.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you see, you and I were talking about that, and now that I know the difference between the Model 1 and the Model 2 on the original PSVR, I saw a couple of different ones on Mercari and on eBay, and I haven't checked out Marketplace yet. And then another buddy of mine said, he actually told me this. He said, because I saw one for $110, mm-hmm. and They're I saw another cheap. One for, yeah, and I'm like, but there's really nothing to play on them. So there's two games that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. Two. Well, technically three. I'm interested in Doom 3.
Yep.
I'm interested in...
Doom VR is pretty badass.
Yeah. And then... oh, shit. I can't... There was the Batman one. There was a Batman...
Oh, yeah,
Arkham
yeah.
something.
Yeah, that one's pretty neat. It's more like a detective kind of game versus like an actual like full-blown you're playing as Batman. You're kind of just doing like a couple detective missions, which is pretty neat still. Because you can definitely go... Right. Like, you're in the Batcave checking it out. That's pretty dope.
And speaking of Batman real quick, we will mention, you know, of course, everybody in the gaming community has definitely said, you know, Kevin Conroy, who was the voice of Batman in all in three of the four Batman games, mm-hmm. and he was the voice of Batman in the animated series, and he was Bruce Wayne, of course, in the Batman Forever and a couple other odds and ends here and there in movies and stuff. You know, he passed away this week. Mm-hmm. I believe it was cancer. And of everything I've heard of this gentleman, especially from a person that I am acquainted with who lives in Australia, he was in a live stream and he actually met Kevin Conroy a couple times or once and spoke with him. And he said he was quite the gentleman, very nice guy. And you know, unfortunately, he passed away this week. So, you know, rest easy wherever you are, Mr. Conroy, and thank you. Thank you for being the definitive Batman.
Right.
As much as I like Michael Keaton and as much as I love Michael Keaton and Val Kilmer, and of course, you know, the late great Adam West as that version of Batman, to me, you are the ultimate voice of Batman. You were the ultimate Batman. And thank you for everything you did. But back to the PSVR, not to make light of Kevin Conroy at all. So I have, there's the Star Trek Bridge Commander, I think it's called.
Yeah.
I'd like to play that. I heard that was very, very good on VR. Yeah,
it was.
So I have, you know, I have some people on one side going, you know, if you're going to pay $110, you know, $150 is like, you know, okay. But I'm seeing $110,
yeah.
something like that. Then I got another buddy of mine going, like you, $50 is the most you want to pay for that piece of shit. And I'm going, well, that's a little harsh. As he goes, there's nothing to play on it. And I'm going,
there's definitely stuff to play on it. Now, I will kind of buck on that. There's a lot of good games on there. I've got actually a pretty good stack of games myself. But again, you can play No Man's Sky. That is a fucking killer game. If you get motion sickness at all, figure out a way to get around it because that game will definitely bring it on. When you're jetpacking around in a fucking VR headset, when you're either sitting down or standing up playing, that shit gets me motion sick. That is a really good game, though. Walking Dead Saints and Sinners is supposedly a really good game. I hadn't got a chance to play that one yet, though.
Did they ever come out with that Lindsay Lohan Party Girl Vomit in the Toilet game? I don't remember if they did.
What the fuck?
I was thinking, you know, with all the motion sickness that you would get, and you get to actually experience being Lindsay Lohan, I think that would be kind of fun, you know, especially considering that, you know, not only are you vomiting in the toilet, your career's in the toilet, you get to see all of
Lindsay Lohan
VR.
Vomiting in the toilet.
Did they ever come out with that game? I don't know.
I don't think so. Not yet. Maybe on VR 2.
Maybe VR 2. You really want to get that.
Gotta get it, yeah.
Lindsay Lohan
get all the 4K,
experience.
That way you can see the corn and the vomit and everything, you know, it's not just pixelated vomit.
You know, Lindsay, if you are watching, because I know you're home doing nothing right now, my wife says if you pay me $50, it's okay. So, there you go.
But no, honestly, you know, on my take of it, I have the PSVR. I'm definitely going to get the PSVR 2, even though it's just as much as a fucking PS5. Freaking $399, ridiculous pricing. But yeah, I definitely want the upgrade for that. Like, it's going to be better than the Quest 2, just in the capabilities of it, because it's your PS5 running the headset. It's not any processors in the headset. So your headset's going to it's a lighter weight headset. You know, you don't have that processor box like, you know, we talked about how you have the version 1 and version 2 of the original PlayStation VR.
Oh, there's no processor box. So it's going to hook directly into the PS5?
Straight
or is
to
it
PS5.
All inside the headset?
It goes straight to your PS5. Your PS5 is actually doing the processing for the games. So it's a lighter weight headset, 4K lenses on each eye, apparently. So it's going to be, you know, amazing quality. You know, they're going to be able to run, you know, once they start making Unreal Engine 5 games for VR, you're going to be able to run Unreal 5 on your PSVR headset. So
interesting.
That's going to look cool as shit. Like, I just feel like it's definitely going to be a thing. And if you've got the extra 100, $120, $130 to spare for the VR, the original VR, go for it. That way you can get that immersiveness with it. Like, I'm really curious as to how the new controllers are going to feel, being that they look more like the Oculus controllers versus the stupid fucking motion sticks that PlayStation has. To me, that's the worst part of the PS1 VR, or the PSVR, I'll call it, is those the move sticks. It's got the stupid little light ball on the end of it. They don't feel natural. Nothing feels natural about it when you're playing with them. The button placement on them is not good. So, like, you know, that versus the Oculus controllers, where it's more like a hand grip and you've got two triggers. And when you move your triggers on the Oculus, you see your fingers moving in the Oculus, you know. So it's not just it's not just your hands doing this in the game. Like, each individual trigger on the Oculus controls. So, like, when you put your thumb on the thumbstick, you see your thumbs moving in the game. Or if you move your trigger fingers, like, you see these hands moving. So it actually gives you, like, that more of an immersive, like, grabbing feel versus, like, your hand just, and that's it. So,
okay.
The PS Move controllers are the worst part about the VR, in my opinion. So once they get away from that in the VR 2 and they go to those new Oculus-style controllers, I got a feeling that's going to get even more immersive and even better. I just want them to start making games where I can look down and see my fucking body and I don't have a floaty hand going out in front of me that's cut off at the wrist. At least give me up to my shoulder where I can look and see an arm or something. Like, that's where the immersiveness really cuts me out of it, is if I look down and I'm just like a floating head, you know, or like I've just got two arms floating out in front of me and just holding guns. Like, it just cuts me off of the body. Like, I want to, that just takes away from it.
Yeah, it's a wonder that they have it like that to begin with, because if you're playing any, say, for example, first person game, and you have, just for example, when I was playing The Darkness here about a month ago, and you had those dual guns. Hell, even playing Max Payne. No, Max Payne's third person. Mm-hmm. Never mind.
Yeah.
But even like with The Darkness or whatever, and I was playing with the dual guns and stuff and shooting, I could see my arm all the way up here.
Yep.
And then it cuts off, you know, on the edge of the screen. So, I mean, why wouldn't they be able to do the same thing with VR? But at the same time, you know, you also do have the ability to do this and look down, whereas if you take your sticks and look down, you know, in a normal third-person game, you can't see your feet usually.
Right.
So it's not like you can, well, oh, hey, here's my arm, you know.
And there are some games in the VR that actually, you know, you do have a full body, and if you're walking, you'll see your legs moving. And there's one really cool game, Farpoint. It's called Farpoint in VR.
Yeah.
That comes with a gun. And the gun's really awkward itself and clunky, but, like, it's really fun to play with because in that one particular game, to change your weapon in the game, so, like, you'll have the machine gun out. To change your weapon, you literally take that VR gun, you stick it behind your back, you pull it back out, and then in the game, it changes to the shotgun. And then it changes back to the machine gun. So that shit's really neat. Yeah, exactly. And I'm trying to think. There was another one. No, that was Oculus, where you actually have your... In Oculus, there's games where, like, you'll have your pistols on your side, and you reach down and grab your pistol. So you'll pull it out, shoot, and then you put it back in your holster, and then you reach back here and grab your machine gun and pull it out. So that shit's pretty cool. But that was really neat in the VR with that gun. Like, that's how you would change your weapon, just throw it over your shoulder and come back with it, and it was, you know, the machine gun.
So that is kind of cool, but at the same time, I think I would want an additional control where if I wanted to hit, just for example, if I wanted to hit the triangle button, where it would just swap it out for me, because I know with VR,
I think it had that feature as well, because on that move on the gun controller, it's got a full array of the buttons, like on your thumbs around here. It's got like all the different directional buttons. It's got two sticks to where you can, like, you will move your character around with your sticks. And it's got all the triangle, square, circle, and buttons on it. It's just really awkward to fucking find them. And, you know, okay. You really have to learn the controller before you get in, because it doesn't show you, like, when you're in VR, it doesn't show you on your gun that the triangle button's over here. So you just have to know that that's where it's at.
Okay. Yeah, you see, that's where, like, with VR, I enjoyed the Wii and the Wii U sometimes when, you know, like, the only game that I really enjoyed the motion controls was Mad World.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I did like it a little bit for, I think it was, I forget which, there was a Luigi's Mansion 3 or something, one of the ones that wasn't on the DS. I can't remember which one, or maybe I'm thinking of the Switch or something, but the motion controls for Mad World didn't seem real gimmicky. Like, if you're going to take somebody and you're going to throw up against a wall of, you know, or the rose bush, as they call it, a bunch of spikes and stuff, you know, you just did it. Or if you had to, you know, take a stop sign out and, you know, like, gouge somebody with it, you could. Although I always wanted to try Manhunt too, mm-hmm. because I heard that if you're going to strangle somebody, you actually use the cable to do it.
That'd be sweet.
So, but at the same time, sometimes I don't want to exercise when I'm playing a game.
Right.
I don't want to do all this stuff. Sometimes I just want to do this.
Just sitting. Yeah. That's where I have a lot of hard time with VR as well. Because, like, I am a very sedentary gamer. Like, I've been sitting on my ass playing games for a long fucking time. So it takes a lot to get my ass up moving around to want to do something in a game. So, like, a lot of these games, you know, a lot of the quest games, it's really like you really do have to stand up and play that shit. Like, I see my son playing Gorilla Tag all the time, and to move around in Gorilla Tag, you physically have to swing your fucking arms like a gorilla. Like, you're reaching and you're grabbing and you're pulling yourself along. So, like, he's in there just fucking, and, like, he'll come out with pouring sweat, and I'm like, yeah, that's not my kind of game. Fuck that.
I guess, in, you know, to play devil's advocate with what I just said then, and then what we're talking about, if you are not in the mood to play something that has that much interaction,
mm-hmm.
a game that is that immersive,
right?
Then you shouldn't be putting the headset on to do it. You know, then just go play your PlayStation or play whatever.
And then, okay, so devil's advocate here. They also have games in Quest 2 that are PokerStars VR, to where you're literally sitting at a fucking poker table with seven other people, and you're playing poker. You're playing Texas Hold'em, or you're playing blackjack or craps. You know, so, I mean, they do have those games to where, like, I can literally sit in my chair at my desk, and then I can have the desk feeling in front of me like the poker table. So, like, I can just reach up and, bam, grab my cards and flip them in the game and just sit there and play with people. So, you know, you have you have that games where you can just sit on your ass and play like that, or you have that, like, motion games like Beat Saber and that kind of game.
Maybe that's something that wouldn't be a bad idea to put on the box. Not kind of like a rating or hey, this is up to two-player or multiplayer, but if it just tells you one or the other, or maybe three different things, you could say either A, this is a completely motionless game where you're just sitting there doing whatever.
I see what you're saying. Versus, like, when you're buying the game, they have, like, the little icons down at the bottom of the corner. You could have, like, a chair.
Yep.
Or you could have, like, a guy standing chair. There with his arms up in the air or some shit, like, you know, this is a motion reactive game versus a sedentary game.
Yeah, fully immersive motion game, mm-hmm. versus just a chair sitting type of game, or you might even have one where it's a little bit of both.
Mm.
So it can have, like, a plus symbol with both. Because I don't know about that Bridge Commander. I've never watched a video on it.
Mm-hmm.
I did see, like, a quick review one time, but it was just, like, I started watching
That one's more of, like, a you can move your character around with a controller and get to where you want to go kind of thing. You don't have to walk, per se, there.
Okay.
And that's another thing, too, with, like, a lot of the walking games, you're not physically, like, walking through your play space to get anywhere, you know. A lot of them, yeah, exactly. A lot of them do have the thumbsticks, so you're walking with your thumbsticks and stuff like that. One of the games I played, to actually make your character run in the game, you did have to swing your arms like you're running. So you're standing there. You can play the game sitting down, but you know you're forward on the thumbstick to walk forward, and then arm swinging to run. You know, so I mean there's different levels of that as well. So it's really neat to see where it's gonna go in the future for sure. Because I mean, obviously, if you're corded in with a headset like with PlayStation, you're not gonna be doing a whole lot of motion stuff. You know, because I mean, even moving your arms around, if you got that cord and you catch that fucking cord just right, and then pull that shit out, oh my god, you let me break a $400 headset, I'll be pissed.
That's where if I was you know trying to change guns and did mm-hmm. that, but now in my head I'm seeing like Ben Stiller or a Jim Carrey or you know something like Mike Myers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can see like a movie where some this is my twisted head. Or somebody like that, their wife, their girlfriend, whatever, they're coming home, and there's this guy, he thinks that he's had the whole, you know, house to himself all day, mm-hmm. and she's coming home early from work, or maybe she went shopping, or, you know, she's gone on a trip, and, you know, the trip got cut short. He's playing a VR game, but he's doing it in his underwear, naked, you know, and then all you see is just her walking in the house. He just bought this new thing. He's sitting there going, "Yeah, I gotta run!" And you know, he's like freaking. You know, he's in the nude. Can you imagine that? Just be like, okay. Her walking and going, "What the fuck are you doing?"
I'll do you one even better. I was scoping out Steam last night, checking out some games because I finally got a half-assed decent PC that I can play some shit on. So I was just kind of looking to see what games were out there for sale.
Yeah.
And there's straight up VR porn games. Like I'm talking full blown. Insertion, full blown, pun intended. Like literally grab her head and shove it down. Like it's, wow. I'm showing my wife and my buddy. I'm like, y'all check this shit out. I'm not just seeing this. I'm not on some weird website. Like it's not, like this was literally on fucking Steam. It's down in there, and it's just like there's like four or five different titles that you can get. Like new releases, new content. Like I'm just like, wow. And it looked pretty cool. I'm not even going to lie. It looked pretty good. I was like, damn. All right.
Okay. The curiosity in me wants to go, all right, let me see this. I got to see mm-hmm. this. But then the holy shit, where have we gone to?
Yep.
In me is going, holy shit, where have we gone to?
No, do it. Do it. Just go with the first one. Go on Steam. Log in. And just look in the library for it. You'll see them, and it'll show you a quick little trailer on it. Like no censored, no bullshit. Like it's all full blown in the trailer. You can see everything that you can do in the game, and that was all I needed. I'm not gonna pay $40 for it. But.
Steve was alone on a Friday night, and then all of a sudden he had a Steam account, and then $40 later, he was naked.
Yeah, and then he gets walked in on.
What the hell are you doing?
I just found this game, Mom.
Thinking about you, sweetheart. Yeah.
Look, I made
her
this character.
Her name is Miranda as well.
I made this character look just like you.
Yeah. And now we know what Lindsay Lohan's going to be doing next.
Yes. That's what she's doing right now. She's working on her motion cap for it.
Lindsay Lohan's OnlyFans page. Yeah. There's like one person there as an ex-boyfriend.
One fan.
Yeah, one fan. I wish I'd never broken up with her.
I guess I'll just pay on here for it.
Anything else news-wise?
I had nothing, man. It's been a slow week, actually. I was looking like... I seen some stuff in there. What, Insignia drops on Tuesday?
Yes.
Insignia Xbox Live drops on Tuesday.
I
have absolutely nothing ready.
I don't have anything ready, but I got the cable coming, and I used to have Splinter Cell, but I don't have it anymore.
I think I've got it still.
Until this week. So I did get another copy of it. It cost me a whole $7.
Yeah.
So
if nothing else, I'll just steal Shane's shit, and he can do mine.
I mean, it
that's one of the perks of living so close to each other.
Am I going to do this like right off immediately?
No. Eh.
But maybe something where I'm going to be like, okay, somebody's going to walk me through this because I'm...
No, my thing is like I'll get it on and play it for like about a day or two, and that'll be it for me anyway.
I would be very much looking forward. I mean, I can play Halo 1 on, you know, Master Chief Collection, mm-hmm. so that's not a problem. But, you know, I don't know what all the 15 or 13 games or 12 games that are going to be there at launch, the whole list, but I wouldn't mind checking them out.
It'd be interesting being able to play that with people online and being able to chat with them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Headset. I don't think I have a headset that would work with the original.
I think they're still pretty cheap right now.
I'm trying to remember. I would have to get my controllers out and look.
I don't even remember what plugs into them anymore. It's so weird.
I don't think there was a plug for it, was there?
I think it goes into the back of the actual console.
Back of the console. Was it USB? So. You remember?
Maybe. I'd have to pull my console out and look at it. It's been so long now.
It's been a very, very long time.
Yeah, we just had one pulled out at game night, too. We had an original Xbox out there playing Halo.
I mean, I know mine's out there covered up. You know, I have an actual Xbox cover for it. It looks like the actual Xbox.
Yeah. It's like a vinyl cover.
Yeah, and I have three or four like that. I've got my Dreamcast, and I've got my Nintendo 64.
My fucking PlayStation 3 is so dusty. I haven't turned that thing on in ages.
I do need to open up my one PlayStation 3 and clean it, but the other one, like Shane and I, when we were talking a couple weeks ago, we were talking, and I found the website that I want to get the one reballed. So I'll have to forward that to Shane, because the service is like, so all right, guys, if you have a PlayStation 3 that has an overheating problem or keeps shutting off, and you know that, you know, you got your yellow light of death or whatever, there are definitely services out there that will reball it for you. There's this website. If I can find it and get it to, I think Mark usually uploads this, cuts it up and uploads it. I will try to put this in there. There's this one service that's not like any other. Not only do they guarantee it, but they will also offer a warranty for an extended period of time. I don't know.
Nice.
So you can get it for like 2 years or 3 years or 4 years, something like that. But they actually show you the balling process. No, they're not just taking it and wrapping a towel around it and throwing it in the oven or something like that. They're actually opening it up, and you actually see they have the machinery actually removes the chip. They clean the board off. They
new
clean
thermal
off
paste,
the chip.
All that good shit.
They redo everything. They reseat the thing and everything. So it's and I think it's only like $89.
Not bad.
And then of course your additional warranty for a year, you know, beyond the first year. Mm-hmm. I would get it for a couple years just for the heck. Why the heck not? Depending upon how much it was. So I will try to remember to put that down there in for the comments.
Link in the comments.
Link in the comments. But if you have a PS3 that's been sitting there and it's just now, I know they do the PS2, the PS3 Slims as well. But I'm talking about I have the original Fat 60 that I bought originally.
That good backwards compatible one.
I have two like that. One is sitting on this shelf. And then I also have one that's the 80 gig one that, you know, has the, I have to download the patches and stuff for it.
Yeah.
That one was having a problem. It shut off on me here a couple months ago. I'm going, what the hell? So I went and got my good one out of the other room. So, if that ever happens to any of them, I will ship it off and get that redone. Because it says on there, if you found a $20 PS3 60 or 20 gig system that was at a garage sale, or somebody had under a bed and you paid $20 for it, you know, we can turn that into a $300 system like that.
Oh, right, exactly. And that makes me feel bad. I never did pick up those ones. We found some at flea markets, but they had been sitting outside. Like, I couldn't tell if they'd been them rained in or not. And I'm like, they still wanted like $60 a piece for it. And I'm like, dude, the thing's been outside for how many months? Like, in this drawer over here, y'all didn't even know you had it. Like, $20. They're like, no, we'll sit on it.
There are videos out there so you can actually tear them down and clean them out, and it's surprising how much stuff is in the bottom of those things. And when I got my replacement one, the first thing I did was I opened it up, and it was funny because this apartment building I was living in at the time, I didn't want to like blow this stuff off into, and we didn't have a balcony, I didn't want to blow this stuff off into my living room.
Right.
So I took it out, I blew it off into the hallway, into the main hallway, and then I vacuumed it up later, but... Yeah, I completely cleaned that thing out, put new thermal paste on it, and it ran cherry right after that. And it's not that difficult to do. You just need some space, and you need to make sure you don't get your screws mixed up. That's why you keep them in that
ice tray. That's the biggest thing is that all the different damn screws in there, because it's not a one-size-fits-all screw like the damn Nintendos.
No, no. And even if you screw it up, you know, and you're like, oh, crap, I don't know what's what. You know, just watch your video backwards.
Exactly.
You know, and this is the one that goes here, this is the one that goes there. It's really not that difficult to do. It really isn't. I mean, I'm a technically minded person, and I was just like, okay, if I can pull apart a 1999 iMac and put a brand new hard drive and new RAM and stuff in that,
nice.
I can do this. And so it's not that hard to do. So other than that, that's all I got for this week.
That's about all I got as well. Having little camera issues over here, keep popping in.
So I'm hoping that I wasn't, because I've heard from a couple of our cohorts who actually tuned in that I was echoey for some reason. I'm not detecting it. Tony's not detecting it.
I don't hear anything on my end.
If I was, I'm sorry.
Fuck it. Nobody else was on. We took care of the shit tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we run into our problems just like anybody else. That's right. Even Gary from Nerd Rodic has his problems beforehand, but I'm sure that he has people, you know, that he can pay to make sure everything's running smoothly. But I also know he's using StreamYard. He's not using what we're using because he's not going on Discord where we are. So we want to catch you guys who are on Discord as well.
That's
so
right. That's why we're doing catch everybody.
That. Yeah, exactly.
Appreciate all you guys. So, everybody in the chat tonight, we had old Game Frank pop in and said if he knew we needed some help, he definitely would have filled in tonight. So,
oh, man.
I know. I wish I knew ahead of time. We'd have got his ass right up in here.
Yeah, that would have been cool. We could have had Game Frank here. You know, any of our past guests, if they're free and if we have a free spot, you know, you can always chime in. And I know, like, I was on another podcast this week, a Doctor Who podcast. I've seen that. And they had an extra opening, and I'm like kind of like a semi-regular occasionally, and I was like, yeah, I'd love to be on. Yeah, maybe we should start, you know, keeping some of those names handy just in case we have an extra spot. We can always get either Game Frank or Bill Tendo or
We definitely want to wish everybody get better in health. You know, Jay Malone, hopefully get better sooner. Brandon, definitely get better sooner.
And before we go, because I was going to talk about a couple of the other guys that I met at Torg, you know, I did get to meet Jay Malone there. And Jay, you know, if you are watching tonight, definitely hope you're feeling better, buddy. And it was a great pleasure meeting you. You're a gentleman. Thank you for coming to Torg and you know, just taking the time to talk to us. We'll
definitely get you on the podcast in the future, too, when you're feeling better.
Absolutely.
I'd rather you not be here I'd rather you not be here and be miserable, or shit, I don't know, get better.
I'd rather you not be miserable and be here than,
Be here and be something, whatever, better soon.
I mean, because Jay, if you're sitting there going, I don't want to be on this podcast, then, you know, you're not having fun. We want you to have fun.
Exactly.
So, you know, talking about games and other stuff. So, anyway, I guess that's it for tonight.
That's it for me, guys.
All right. Hey, have a great week, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to our duo podcast here the Game Junction. And we will see you next week.
Peace out, guys.
I wonder if it's a setting or something that I had, because, you know, I was fucking around beforehand. I don't hear anything. Interesting. Well, there's been some nights where Shane has been, where Brandon has been, but we don't know why. So that's kind of weird. Stop recording. There we go. Oh.